This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
I'm sure everybody's very excited about the fact that we're starting later and later every Tuesday night now.
Every week. It's like a weekly drag show. Like the poster says, 7 o'clock. You show up at 7:30, and the bartender's looking at you, going, "You know, we don't start till 8."
When we get there,
that might be factual. That might be factual. Oh, the camera on Alex, horrible tonight. What the hell's wrong with that?
That could just be what's left of me.
No, it is not. Is it? No, it is not. I'm well aware. I mean, look at that. Look at that. Look at the screen.
Good
and see
shot. I can see it. I feel like I died 2 days ago, so now I'm just an apparition.
Oh, don't die.
No. Well, the show almost didn't get put together again tonight. Al was flying in from the great beyond today.
Oh, yeah.
I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off around here. And clearly that we're starting at 8 after means not all the technical things got worked out. But anyway, if you found us, you're listening to us, congratulations.
You got here.
Thank you.
Yes, Jenny, you are in the correct chat room. She's listening from chilly Santa Barbara, California. Hi, Jenny. Oh, my God, Joe DeGanzik's in there. Cat Effin Carlson, of course. My mom, sure. Mama Di. I don't know who else. Marnie Ryer is not late tonight. She's not going to be
not
here.
Coming.
She's watching and listening from I'm assuming the comfort of her bed, where she's a little under the weather this week. So,
she's
hi, Marnie. I'm sure she'll be joining in
hi,
with
Marnie.
Us in the chat room.
Feel better.
Unless she has chosen to take a good dose of NyQuil and is unconscious. I'm sure she'll be joining us in the chat room a little bit later. It's show 239 on this, the 1st of December, 2015. Hi, everybody. Welcome to us. This is our attempt at a show. We do it each and every week. And
whether you like it or not.
Sometimes yeah. Successfully.
Sometimes no, but thank you for joining us ad nauseum.
Repeatedly.
Yes. Am I still the ghost of you?
Yeah, I haven't got a chance to. I'll have to check into that and see if I can figure out your camera's.
I like it better as the haunting.
Really,
it has a certain appeal.
Well, Casper the Friendly Owl.
Let me see it. Give me work on that. See. Oh, it's this. It's that. No, that was just one camera. Isn't that funny? I'll try the other one.
Try the other one.
Very, very busy. See if I can. Sometimes the camera.
Yeah, and I can't really see it because these glasses are just for reading. Because my eyes are so fucking tired.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I flew that fucking thing. Yeah, so I gotta do that.
There.
I gotta
there
do the go. Rude thing where I look down at my I look down my nose at you.
Quite all right. We understand, Al. For some reason, it's only fixing the camera that Kat and I are on. It's not doing anything to your camera.
Because I decided to wear a green shirt tonight, so I'm confusing the crap out of the camera.
You are a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. I can see it there. I was like, oh, this isn't green enough. Yeah, it might be green enough.
That is stupid. And just a heads up, I don't really care about Star Wars, so there's nothing in entertainment besides Star Wars this whole week.
So it's going to be kind of dry?
Yeah, it's going to be like, and I don't really want to see Star Wars.
I don't
entertainment!
Yay!
I had no interest either. Not in that movie.
I do, but not for like 2 months.
Right, exactly.
And
on video.
And then I'll go see it, yeah, either from my Amazon streaming account or perhaps on a Monday night at the Dollar Theater.
Oh, that sounds fun.
That might be a ways away. So what'd you do this week?
That's a good time. I ate turkey.
Oh, that's right. What day of 10 days
of... We're on day number 8 of 10 days of turkey. So 10 days of turkey started last Tuesday. That was day number 1. So count.
The advent calendar for turkey.
Today is day 8. We had, of course, turkey dinner here, and then I had a fabulous, turned out wonderful, but a gigantic, stupid party at my house.
Oh, did you get to find out? Was an accurate head count available?
Head count ended up at 41 people.
Hokey smokes.
Yeah,
wow.
A lot of people.
That's legit.
That is legit.
That's a legit party.
And God love Sharon for putting up with it, and, you know, as I'm encountering my friends in regular life and everything. Some of them are retelling a tale of, you know, standing in the kitchen and saying to Sharon, oh my God, this is great. We should do this every year. And Sharon going, Sure.
Is there, feels like no.
Right. So I've got a year to talk her into it, but
does she have a choice in dealing with this, really? I mean,
well, I feel like here's how it went down. I said, hey, we're going to be cooking on Wednesday because we're not going to have a real Thanksgiving for ourselves. So why don't we invite a couple of people? She says, well, yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. And then I went and invited 65 people and said, hey, hon, why don't
you
invite some friends?
Well, luckily you had 24 regrets.
I know. We had like three people and their families that didn't reply.
Got it.
But no, we ended up having a really great time and it was, you know, these are... And most of the people that came are people that I spend a fair amount of time with. And, you know, I'm in the school and we know their kids and all the kids know each other. So it was kind of an extended family feeling, which was really nice. So we drank a lot of wine and, you know, had a very kind of all-American Thanksgiving that day because there were, like, dads playing football with kids and moms getting drunk in the kitchen. And
Well, that just sounds like a normal Tuesday.
Sounds like a Tuesday, yeah. Right. Minus the kids and the football. And,
right, we don't have football in this house.
We have none of that.
We have no time. Or children, really.
But yeah, so we did that. So that was turkey day number two. Thanksgiving was actually turkey day number three, in which I just had a nice plate of delicious leftovers. Friday, I kind of cheated. I only, like, snacked, like, finger-picked at the leftover.
You carcassed it?
I stood over the container of leftover chicken while I was making my lunch for work that night. Opted not to make a messy turkey sandwich and make just a regular PB&J for work, but I stood there and ate about a pound of turkey just straight out of the thing cold.
Mm.
And then over the weekend, I made some turkey noodle surprise, snuck in another plate of full-on leftovers, and I'm almost out of turkey. So we're just going to have to stretch. Just two more days, but 10 days of turkey. Quite successful. I'm very excited. And so then I have to wait a mere 20 more days for another turkey because I've already demanded a Christmas turkey.
Yeah, and I got to sneak one in. I did not find my turkey selection to be adequate. So I'm gonna sneak one in, even if it's just for me. I'm gonna.
Well, and you barked at a deli person last week, so you could get one just for this show,
right? And it was good, and I ate
it
that day and the next
turkey
day,
delicious.
And I had turkey. But my 3 days of turkey still did not feel like enough.
Sufficient,
It did not suffice.
I feel like I need to find a happy medium. I feel like 10 days of turkey might have been a little ambitious. Like I'm gonna get there. I'm at day eight already. For God's sakes.
Okay.
I had some turkey noodle surprise today, so I'm good for day eight.
I'm a little concerned at the turkey, the noodle surprise.
Yeah.
Like, what is this surprise?
That there's still turkey in my house and we're still eating it eight days later.
Fair enough. I gotcha. I just thought there was...
Turkey noodle surprise. It's just turkey and egg noodles. It's my family's done it for years. You just get some chicken broth and or gravy.
I thought this was just where you weren't sure when the salmonella was coming.
No. That's a surprise that you're still making stuff out
of it. Right, it's still turkey things. I think there might be a turkey pot pie in my future still.
Mm. Yeah, and we ended up at a restaurant at the last minute with like a prefix. Is that how you say that? Pre, but they know that it's the set price and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's pronounced prefix. I can't think right now. And we walked in with a couple. They got sat after a little bit of discussion. So the hostess was seating them, and a waitress saw us and was like, just grab that table. Just go in and grab that table. She's like, I'll
just
take the hit.
It,
she's like,
yeah.
Don't you? She's like, we closed at 8. It's 8:15 or 8:10. She's like, but that couple's late for their reservation. So we, you know, we're firing the whole thing up.
Kitchen's cooking, you might as well just sit. Right.
Like the manager and the person whose section we grabbed a table in and that waitress all had a little powwow. The hostess was like, she did it behind my back. I didn't know. We're like, we don't know.
Right.
We just walked in with those people and they got sat. So we did the turkey. We just made it easier for the waiter. We're like, we just want the turkey. We're here for turkey.
Yeah.
It was all like everything around it was wonderful, but the turkey was like, I felt like we were down to like the prisoner's turkey, the servant's turkey. It was like really salty,
greasy.
Like it came off of like the turkey roll. You know what I mean? It just
the Lago turkey.
It was a Lago turkey or something.
And in a pinch in the summer, I'm not opposed to the turkey log sometimes, but I see where you're going with it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I am. I'm on fire according to the video.
Oh,
In fuego. So that was the thing. The dinner was lovely and everything was wonderful except for the turkey like this salt lick, which Shane loved because he, you know, likes a good salt lick.
Sure, who does?
He eats jerky on the regular, so he was okay with it.
I do enjoy the jerky.
I don't even know. I smelled. He bought beef jerky for one of the road trips. I smelled it. I'm like, no, I don't know what that is, but I can't go in my mouth. Not today, Satan.
Not today. We're still broadcasting. It's just audio at this point.
All right.
We've lost some camera stuff, but Al looks better now than he did before. Yeah.
It's the invisible Al.
All of us are. I could just go to I could just go to this slate and just, they can just keep listening to us at this point.
Now it's audio only somewhere. So, anything else? Did you do anything else? Besides eight days of turkey?
8 days of turkey. I worked. We put up a Christmas tree. No, nothing.
Oh, you got your Christmas tree up?
Oh, yeah. We bought it a couple of weeks ago, but we dug the decorations out and let the kids decorate it. We've got that goddamn Elf on the Shelf out in our house again.
Oh. It's a horror movie waiting to happen.
There's a part of me that just...
I prefer the horror in the drawer as opposed to the shelf on the horror in the drawer. Oh,
every year when someone makes that joke...
It's funny every time. Yeah. I know, and the inappropriate Elf on the Shelf memes are funny every time. I don't care how many times I see that elf just pooping out little chocolates.
It's like a Pez dispenser of
You need to go Google like inappropriate Elf on the Shelf and people.
I think that's gonna end me in prison.
People pose these little elf dolls in all kinds Google of fun shit. Ways.
Oh wait, that would be what you want me to Google.
Yeah,
Never mind. So
someone somewhere along the way decided to pose their Elf on the Shelf on the toilet, put chocolate chips in the toilet, and take a picture of it. Throughout the internet.
Now it's part of your life.
It's just part of the human experience.
Well, as long as you're gonna land on elf. On my
all right
on my fair plane ride back, I was so tired, and Delta has this thing. I flew Delta for the first time in years and years, and they're lovely.
I forgot
people.
They were a thing.
Yeah, they're a thing. But like, to fly to San Antonio, I had to fly to LA and then San Antonio, so go back one state, go forward three, and then this
Two
morning to go
forward,
from New Orleans to Phoenix, it was fly to Atlanta, go three states east, and then take a long flight back. And I was tired and kind of cranky and bitching, but I had a row to myself.
Not you.
Like, there wasn't many people way in the back. And I was one of the biggest planes I've been on in a long, long time. It was in, like, row 44 or some crazy shit.
Uh-oh.
So I look up, and they actually had a movie, which I hadn't seen a movie on a plane in ages either.
Forever, right. So did it cost you $45?
No, it was free. It was complimentary. So I stuck my headphones in the jack, and I watched Elf. And
oh my God.
I laughed my fucking ass off.
We are back in true color.
Oh, look at that.
I liked it better when you thought I might have looked better than this.
Well.
Nope, that's what you get. So, oh my God. Buddy, what's your favorite color? And do you like syrup? Is there sugar in syrup? Yes.
Then yes, I love it.
It's my favorite. Everything is always his favorite.
Oh my God. You sit on a throne of lies. And the whole fist fight with Santa, where they take down the replica of the... Just every part of that movie is fucking funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then at the end, I was so sleepy and so like exhausted from this week that I actually cried at the ending when they got
good
the Christmas
spirit.
Oh, that's okay.
Aww.
Sometimes you need a good cry.
I was like wiping away a tear, and I'm like, oh, this is not working.
Your heart grew three sizes that
it,
day.
It did that very day.
You.
That's funny.
And then Delta has this thing where they have movies for your, like, they have free Wi-Fi that's loaded up with movies and TV shows.
What?
So I watched, like, most of Pitch Perfect 2, which I forgot how fucking funny that
which
show was,
which is fucking
too.
Hilarious, too.
Really funny. I'm very sexually confused by you now.
I don't know your name. Obese Denise. Inflexible Tina. Lazy Susan.
Lazy Susan.
Inflexible Tina gets me every time. I'm like, what?
I don't know about this.
I gotta buy this movie because it was so... So I'm sitting there laughing and crying. I was an insane person with headphones on the whole ride.
That's a good day.
Just laughing and crying.
That is funny shit right there.
It's a good movie. I see clips of that movie all the time. I need to sit down and watch it, like, beginning to end.
I haven't done it beginning to end in years and years and years.
Wait, which one? Elf?
Elf, yeah.
Oh, I was talking Pitch Perfect, too, but either one.
I hadn't seen Elf all the way through in years either, and just fucking funny. Everything with Bob Newhart and Ed Asner, like, it's just a delight. And Clayton, what are you up to?
Well, one of the things that I have discovered, which I was sharing you, I picked Al up at the still yet to be discovered SkyTrain terminal.
Our personal airport parking.
It is in Phoenix, Arizona. And if you ever fly in to Phoenix for whatever reason, Don't force anybody that you love or care for to drive through the terminal and suffer through that fucking traffic. Have them go to the SkyTrain terminal where they can just leisurely ride the train from the congested terminal and walk out all by yourself.
Yeah, you're all alone.
That's fantastic.
It really is.
This is what, the second or third time?
Right, right.
And it's me and his car. Like, where are you? You know what I mean? Well, you're right fucking there.
Yeah. So anyway.
So you show up in a little chauffeur cap and a little sign anyway?
Exactly.
I should start doing that. So anyway.
Smart traveler. Right.
Pick him up. But no, the
Perkins party.
One of the joys that I have fallen into, and as I told you earlier today, if you don't realize... If you've ever had a massage, like a full, and I'm not talking the, you know, get your little extra special massage. I'm talking a legitimate massage where you go to.
I think we all went legitimate massage before you.
Some people in the listening audience.
Before you put the whore in the drawer, that's where we all were.
So I was having serious problems with my back and my neck, and I finally went to, for Al's referral, the Massage Envy. Because I kind of always thought the Massage Envy was a... Dare I say the Walmart of massage.
Yes.
I didn't really trust it.
A sleazy little front.
Right. I didn't trust it. You got to shop around.
You got to find your people.
They're a really nice establishment. A wonderful crew on the front desk, and then they take you into what they call the tranquility room, which is the which I found out they built because there was way too much noise between where the actual massage rooms are and the front desk area. There was way too much noise, so they put a buffer room that's about as big as or about as wide as this, where you can kind of chill on a fake fireplace and kind of calm down before you go in. But anyway, the serious pain that I've been through in the past two sessions I've gone to, amazingly beneficial. I literally thought I was going to kill him on Saturday night because he was ripping knots out of the muscles in my neck were just, and he's like, I don't know how you can move. Like, seriously, he was asking. I'm like, well, apparently my body's been compensating so long and you don't realize how bad you felt until you feel better. It's one of those things, because I have full mobility of my neck again. My arms aren't falling asleep. Like, everything's a magical, it's wonderful again. I can dance. I can play the violin. You know,
Could you play the violin before?
No, but magically now I can. So
it's all coming back to me now. Violins.
Thank you, Celine. Yes. So that was one of the things that I have just forced myself. I had, and some people don't let themselves go do things like that, but it's like one of those things. You've just got to do. It's part of health, and you just don't, again, realize how bad you feel until you feel better. The other thing that I got sucked into, and I'm sure we've all been, you see TV commercials, you see it on online, junk mail, Ancestry.com.
Oh, Lord.
Let me tell you, going down that dark path.
I have spent countless hours finding out amazing things about my family.
It's time to get out of the house, Clayton.
No, no, it's not even that. We have verified.
It's time to go outside sometimes.
We have verified. I found out my ancestry from Germany and France on my mom's father's side. It's been very interesting to see and put it together and figure out, because I don't know who the hell some of these people are, obviously, because they were in the 1700s. There's no way I would have known them.
Dead, right.
But you find out, you know, the era of time.
Voodoo, wizardry, nothing.
When they came from what you call the mother country, if you will. Yeah, you know,
the motherland.
You find the time span in which they came to America. Because, you know, you're born in France. My, like, fifth great-grandfather, born in France and died in Ohio.
Suddenly they're coming to America. Right.
I feel like a cab ride might have been missing from the story. Swimming.
But it's been very interesting to see, to find out when people were the mystery ages when you find out, because, you know, there's that one grandmother who never quite would tell you when she was born, mystery about her age. Well, I figured all that shit out because birth records pop up, magical.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So anyway, I've been doing. I am on the 14-day free trial.
They're about to get you.
But we're 12 days away from me being. Embroiled
in a lawsuit.
Right. No, there's no.
It's gonna be like trying to get rid of.
It's gonna take that to cancel your membership. I hope you know that.
That's
three attorneys.
It's gonna be like trying to get rid of a direct
witch doctor.
It's not LA Fitness. Oh, and I had never dealt with those fine people. You have several stories about the DirecTV.
I hate them.
Yeah, no, I have no interest in them at all either. But that's been quite interesting with me. And then piggybacking your 10 days of nonstop turkey,
Hashtag 10 days of turkey.
10 days of turkey.
Mom sent me home, obviously, on Thanksgiving with a good supply of food for me and about 70 other people.
Like you do.
And I've been working through it because, you know, you don't want it to go to waste by any means.
A horn o' plenty, if you will.
Horn a drawer.
There's whores everywhere.
To go with your bag of notes.
I was doing really good on getting this all kind of cleaned out of the house, and Mom stopped by today and brought me, what? Oh, a turkey pot pie she made, which is already half gone. My mom, it's fantastic, by the way.
I need information on that turkey.
Tofurkey?
Just belch. It's just a pretty girl doing pretty things over here on the side.
Pretty, huh? Pretty?
Substituting your K's for F's for the rest of the show.
I like it better with the shade, with the glasses on.
Just embalmed is what I am. I want to know more about this turkey pot pie.
It's in the fridge. We can heat up a section of it later.
Yeah, I'm curious. I can't eat anymore. The Chinese person I just ate really threw me over the over the edge.
You know, cats and dogs, they're tough to digest. They just are.
Wow.
Fat people are hard to kidnap. It's really a whole thing.
I used to have a pair of ex-girlfriend chihuahuas that lived at my house, and I would look at them all the time, and I'd be like, motherfuckers, there's a Chinese food buffet getting ready to open up down the street.
Ex-girlfriend chihuahuas, meaning they belong to her?
Right, meaning that while I was
I thought the chihuahuas were
that's
split
what
up.
I was concerned.
We're a lovely couple.
Yeah.
No, I mean, when the bitch moved out, she left the dog.
She left two bitches there?
Yeah. Had three bitches, now I'm down to two.
In fact, if I remember right, she took them with her and then was like, oh, this is a lot of work. No, here, have the dogs. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, we all know those people.
Right. We've met before. But I used to look at the dogs all the time and be like, I'd drop you off at a Chinese food restaurant and be eating you as takeout in a week.
Well, there's that.
That's
the sly
house.
Way we threw Asians underneath the bus this week.
This week.
Oh, the Asians are always the first to go.
This week on How to Offend Everyone, we did it subtly.
Yeah, that was.
That's a really fun alternate show title.
Yeah.
Alternate show. Okay, we'll go with that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Well, we're going to attempt.
What are we going
to
do next?
Well, who fucking knows? We're gonna try to get through so many things.
Oh my
things.
God, we're early.
Oh, the whole show's gonna be early.
Oh my God.
Doesn't matter.
Well, should I tell you what I did then to kill a little bit of time?
Well, let's do that.
So I don't know what. By it's not really means. Entertaining, so let's waste it here. So.
Sure.
Explain why you drove across the
can't
five
put
states.
It into that subheading.
Go ahead.
So.
Mother God.
You're still waiting for the good stuff, so listen to this in the meantime.
Yeah, exactly. Until the good stuff comes. So
let us know when you find the good stuff, listeners.
Met up with a friend in San Antonio on Thanksgiving Day on a cold, rainy night with a little bit of a issue with the rental car. And where the rental car bus was playing Donna Summer Live and More Encore on the channel, and they... are fully staffed at the Avis counter for Thanksgiving, even though they only had like six people that were going to rent cars all day, and five of them were already gone. So I stayed in the office and watched the football games till my friend arrived. And then I was like, during halftime, can we just ride around on the bus and watch the Donna Summer DVD? I was invited to out of pity because I was there for like 2 hours. And I couldn't go back to the hotel because my friend's driver's license had expired, and he realized it at the airport. They pointed it out at the airport, but he has a Nexus card. So they were like, we have a way to get on, but for the rest of your trip, this is
going to be a problem, right?
So I was like, well, I can't go. I don't want to go to the hotel and then have to come back and have to redo the whole rental agreement. It turns out they never checked. Like, they looked at his driver's license, but nobody said anything about it being expired. So we got the car, and I ended up having to spend like part of my Thanksgiving with the lovely people of San Antonio's Avis counter.
I'm sure they were delightful.
But the point of it was to go ride that Batman 4D thing that just opened this last summer at Six Flags San Antonio Fiesta.
Olay.
Olay.
Okay. Jeez, I didn't know we were going to be bilingual here.
So we decided, without any word from Six Flags, that we were going rain or shine, not knowing whether or not Six Flags was going to keep up their part of the rain or shine agreement. So there was a storm pending the whole day. Like, we were always, like, right on the verge of rain, and it would, like, sprinkle, but never... It was always threatening, but never happening. We get in. The whole point is this Batman 4D ride that we've been watching for, like, a year online. We get in. We get to the door. We were seriously, like on a mission. Like, we are going to hit these roller coasters hard and fast.
Right.
Get on them. Get off them. Just do the roller coasters. Get the fuck out of this park. Mm-hmm. And go back to our daily lives. Well, we get back to the Batman, and it was like Wally World, where, like, the Batman door was closed, and all the people that couldn't speak in declarative sentences that work at San Antonio, they're going, I might open later. What are you trying to say to me?
Use your words.
Yeah. It was, so we run over. We get on the Superman ride. They're like, oh, no, you got to go this way. You came up the wrong side. I'm like, can we
fuck it.
Run around, get on the Batman ride. Just hysterical. Just takes off. There's nobody on the ride but us. We're the only people. We meet up with this mother and daughter couple. We run around. We ride it again. We're like, fun. We run around. We get on it one more time. And something in the summer that people wait like two and a half hours. There's like no, they don't have any of the little queue things going. You're just
but when it's freezing cold and about to rain, nobody's riding.
You're on it. So then we see the Batman thing moving. So we get on the Batman. There's a Batmobile up front. We decided that going up backwards on the ride was going to be fun. And all it was like laying on your head upside down for like 90 seconds. And I was like, okay, let's try that a different way. So we run around, we get on it again, and we ride it going forwards and got the bejesus knocked out of us. Like, I thought we were going to need like a paramedic, a chiropractor.
Oh my God.
This was the most stupid roller coaster ever. You just go up and down these things while you're spinning, like your limbs are not attached to anything, and you like the screams were real. So we go
the
on it, realize we did it the right way. So we go on one more time. We're like, one more time, and we're done. Get on it again, and then just got the shit kicked out of us by Batman. It ends. And I'm like, how about we just say we've done this and we do not get in that line one more time? And he was like, that's legit.
All right.
So then we're like doing the map. We're going through the park. We're trying to beat the rain. We get on this, and this hot hottie that was the carny folk that was working the Batman ride
There's
was giving us suggestions.
Right.
So he tells us to get on this poltergeist roller coaster.
Sure.
So we sit in the seats, and there's a little tunnel where it starts. We thought, oh, you're going to go slowly through the tunnel, and there's going to be scary shit or something. And you can see up ahead the hill that you're going to go up.
Right.
So we're like, okay, that's how that's going to happen. And we're like just kind of like chit-chatting, and we hear a blah, 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 hands together, enjoy the ride. We're like, bam, like a rocket out of hell. The thing goes 0 to like 60 miles an hour in 0.5 seconds, so it's got a G-force.
Yeah.
What he was saying was to keep your
head back.
Against
all the
back.
Way back so you don't see you knock yourself the fuck out.
We let out a scream that is still hanging somewhere over Texas. Because we weren't looking forward, we were still chatting, and we just got shot. And then it kind of slowed down, and you're like, okay, so the big deal about this one is that initial ejaculation out of the storm.
Isn't that always
the storm
cellar?
Wow. Well, then all of a sudden the ride speeds up and the thing gets tighter and tighter, and it does this like, oh, I should have brought that map to show you. It just looks like someone took string and threw it on the ground on the map, what it looks like. And we're like, well, that's kind of odd. And you just go around loops and upside down, always feel like you gotta like duck to avoid the bar. It was so fucking wrong.
Oh my God.
And we said, like, on the day we die, we are both going to know, because we are looking at each other when that thing got jolted out. And the looks on both of our faces, like we're being sucked into another universe. And I think we briefly held hands and prayed.
Like you do.
I'm like, okay, maybe we should look some of these things over before we do it. So we did all the roller coasters there. It's a fun park. The people were really friendly. We get to we only had two roller coasters left. We didn't see the second to last one. We didn't see the last one, but the second to last one, we wait. It's the only one that had a ride all day. It's like the biggest steel roller coaster. It's got some record. We get in line. We wait for our 20 minutes. It was the only time we waited. We get in the car, and we're sitting there. And all of a sudden, the doors come up, and the lady's like, lightning. And we're like, huh? And everybody starts to get out. I'm like, oh, you got to wait out the storm. they saw lightning, and I'm like, I don't see really lightning. And we were under a wood overhang, and so you could tell, like, it was dripping from the roof, but it was dark outside, so you could tell it was raining a little bit, but it looked like it stopped, and then all of a sudden the temperature dropped. It was, like, 62 degrees, and then it was 38 degrees. Like, oh my God. All looking at our phones, like the phone's going to tell you when the ride's going to open. Like, weatherchannel.com's going to tell you when the Ironsides roller coaster
the
is going to open.
Yeah, coming,
the all
right.
clear is coming. So just as I'm like, oh, I think the rain stopped, maybe we'll get on, and this bolt of lightning comes down and, like, hits the ride next to us.
What?
And we're like, we're out.
We're like, that might be enough.
Time to go.
So we got right. So Shane's like, well, you want to just make a run for the car? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, there was no one in the park. We were there 10 minutes before it opened. So we thought we had prime parking. It felt very, very close. We were walking in on a cloudy day. It's like a torrential downpour.
Running through
parts
the rain.
Of the park are starting to go underwater.
Oh my gosh.
We're like getting completely soaked. Shane, I had this on. Shane had a raincoat on. So the rain was just coming off of his slick jacket, and like it just looked like he was peeing his pants. It literally looked like he... So we make it back freezing with the heat. We have to wash our clothes. My shoes got ruined. The socks are ruined. Like, yeah. It was funny. So that was our roller coaster. 3 hours, 5 minutes. I rode 12 roller coasters. He rode 11 with breaks in between for I think I'm dying. I can't find Earth.
I haven't been on a roller coaster in a while. I do enjoy them.
Oh, my God. And these are some crazy ones. And the one called the Goliath that turns out was from... rescued from Six Flags, New Orleans. That was destroyed.
Which is still underwater.
Called, yeah.
Sure.
Because we saw it as we were... So we drove to New Orleans in the horrible, horrible rainy weather that didn't leave. We crossed Texas during that. So I was like, whoever has the prayer circle, remember when Governor Perry, when they were having the drought, he wouldn't admit to climate change, but he had the prayer circle to have it rain in Texas. I'm like, all right, prayer circle,
stop.
You're done. Raining. So we drove to New Orleans. We did our stuff business there. We were there for the Bayou Classic. They call it the Black Super Bowl. So it was like one of the four big holidays, like Mardi Gras and... Southern Decadence. It's one of the big ones that they have. Oh, shootings.
He's running down the street with gunfire.
Yeah, I mean, there was gunfire earlier. We went to a gay bar. Well, my friend and his mother and his sister were walking when the shots were actually being fired, and there was a panic in the streets. We went the other way, went up on one of the balconies. We were drinking, and we were looking. I'm like, it looks calm. There's cops everywhere. It smells like ass there. Oh my God, it smells so bad. It smells like vomit, regret, a little bit of pee, and all the horse shit from all the horse cops. All mixed loving. And there's just, it's what the 1800s was felt like. Because the horses, the mounted police are all up and down the street. And those horses are just, there's just horse shit
it's kind of what
everywhere.
They do.
Right. Oh my God. But it smelled so bad. It was. So we decide we're going down. I'm like, there's all this police presence on the street. We're not going down a side street. We'll just walk where the cops are. Down Bourbon to Canal Street. We are kind of where it starts to quiet down, but we had to get all the way across to Canal. And we knew that there had legitimately been shots fired, probably someone shot. And we get like a block away from Canal Street. And I'm like, see, it wasn't that bad. And all of a sudden from behind us, we hear a scream and like the whole crowd is just running.
Oh my God.
And it just starts to turn into this panic. And the guy that we had with us is like 6'3", 6'4". So he's pushing Shane, who's a big guy, and he's pushing me. I'm like, no, we're not running. Like, Shane's going, we're not running. We're not running. No one's running.
We don't run.
Right. And we all had cocktails. And then we just went and stood. But, I mean, it was like seriously like a military presence. Like what you saw, like not probably like half of what they did in Boston, like after the bombing, like Canal Street, like just cops and squad cars and like lockdown. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And it was a little bit scary. And then we walked like a mile too far out of our way and had to walk back through it again to get back to our hotel because we were kind of drunk and lost.
Kind of drunk and lost.
And wait, is that the part where we use our surprise face?
Yeah.
Sure.
But then did a road trip and drove to Mississippi and Alabama.
And how many state signs did you stand out in front of and take pictures?
Three. Louisiana we got on the way back. And
I just think that's the funniest thing because I don't picture him ever doing that because border, to me...
None of them were at the state border. All of them were somewhere where we found a sign.
Oh, okay.
The one, like, we Got were it. Finding visitor
didn't,
centers.
Like, pull off the highway at
Yeah,
the
and
sign.
The one was actually at the restaurant in
okay.
whatever it was called, like Spanish Fort.
Because you're not
Alabama.
A person to me that drives cross country that would experience the signs as you cross into states.
I always point at them and I always think, oh, you know, if I was more together, I would get a picture of that. And I'm like, yeah, it's gone.
Okay.
But this time, like, we actually made a point of it, mostly because we had to pee at places that had signs like rest stops.
Sure.
So what's with the rest stops?
But the Gulf Coast, it turns out, is absolutely lovely. That is absolutely, truly beautiful. I had never seen it. I'd seen, like, the Florida part of it, but not the northern coast. It was gorgeous. Beautiful drive, casinos, lots of fun. And we changed. I never knew what time zone we were in. We changed, like, 2 or 3 times.
Right.
We were in Central Time. We were in Mountain Time. I was in Eastern
Good
Time
Good times
today.
And bad times. I've seen them all.
And I'm still here. Yeah, that's kind of how I felt, like, with every time we went and did something else.
Oh, look at that, a glowing review of the South.
Look at that, he's very congratulations.
And the cool thing that we saw in New Orleans was that, do you watch American Horror Story? Did you ever see Coven? Did you see the Coven season?
I know of it and a few scenes.
Oh, okay, because Kathy Bates was Madame Lalaurie, and it turns out it's real. We had a wonderful docent the second night, or third night, at the pub and parade bar. And he told us, like, ghost stories and things that were haunted. And he told us that house really existed. And
oh, how fun.
I know Shane was like, I don't watch TV, so I don't know what he's talking about. But I was all excited. So we went and saw the house. And it was kind of cool. And some friends had told me that they had seen it at night and taken pictures. And there was orbs around it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We got there and forgot what we were doing. Didn't get the pictures at
night.
Might
there still have been booze involved in that?
Yes. And Marnie, I did get the link. So that was it. So that killed a couple minutes. So it was a very exciting week, and on my goal to see all 50 states, I got 3 more down. So
good work.
Very nice.
I think I'm at 41 now. I've got all the flyovers to do in Vermont. That's going to be the tricky one.
Sure. Because it's for lovers.
Yeah. So Virginia. I can't figure out what Arkansas is for, but as soon as I figure out why to go, I'm going to get there.
Soon as I learn that one.
Arkansas is for leaving.
Okay. We burned some time up. Let's see if we can make magic with this. Sure. Wait, I have to do... Hang on, I wasn't ready. I actually thought I was doing something else, but now we're going to do...
It's called The Show with Clayton McKee. You do it every Tuesday.
Not well, clearly.
Attempted every Tuesday.
Yeah, like I said, the critics call our show a nice attempt.
I'd be excited if we were listened to by a critic. Other than the snarky, bitchy people that like text us later and say, hey, what you should have done.
Yeah. By the way, could you be more blah, blah, blah?
We just call those our friends.
Well, last week we were too sober and too eating. We were not engaged.
We were.
There's your critic.
There it is.
Thank you. I feel better now. All right. We'll come right back in just a second. I hate when I do this.
Click
do
this.
There's so many things. You have no idea how technical this is.
Syncopating 2, 3, 4.
All right. We'll be back in just a second with headlines and an attempt to get through that segment right here on Q Talk America.
You're listening to Q Talk America.
Are you ready for this? It's a 30-second dance break.
Is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
Alrighty, kids, here we go. An attempt at headlines on a... What is this? Tuesday? Yeah, every week. Tuesday. Oh, the Japanese are going to have a fucking sale.
Gosh, I'm thirsty.
Do you make Kool-Aid?
Some people have too much money.
Al's going to throw something in. You got nothing? You got something else?
Somebody in Minnesota has too much money.
Not here. Not in this studio. We're all broke as hell, but we're going to give you headlines.
You guys have the same one?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so at all.
That was a nice little coincidence.
We're just not... We're does not fold together apparently in any shape, way, or form.
It's good to be honest.
Oh my God.
In the production meeting, we might want to talk yes about preparation. If we,
when, God, I know we have those at some point. I just wish I would know. I wish I knew when they were. I think they're, we go live at 7. I think they're at 6:56 p.m. I think
the production meetings.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I saw this on the interwebs, and some of you probably did too. If only we could have sat in on the meeting where the marketing team for the Osaka department store came up with the idea for their fucking sale.
Yes.
Spotted earlier this month by a reader named Jake Adelstein. Apparently, when they translated something for really cool, well, fucking's what came up. And here are the, there's the signs in the store that they put up.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's fantastic that
oh,
they did
American
that.
All American slang.
Yeah, all American slang. So they, whatever translation app they tried to use didn't really work really well. But apparently at some point in the distant past, there was somebody else who tried to translate shit ton. And that didn't work out too well either.
Shit tons.
The flyer said save a shit ton on something, and that got taken down as well.
Apparently, some people use UrbanDictionary.com yes as their translator.
Too much. Too much.
And it's always funny. Now, we have a follow-up to the fuck it bitch, the fucking bitch story from last week.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy that had the Facebook name, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guess
yeah, yeah
he recanted and admitted yeah it wasn't his real name.
Oh, what? I don't know of that.
According to sources, yeah.
Oh. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yeah.
Was this part of your journey into the south of Central United States going to...
Was this an investigative mission?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you find fuck that bitch in New Orleans?
On Q Talk America's dime?
As I was eating alligator. Fuck that bitch. As I was eating alligator for the first time. Tastes like calamari, by the way.
Mm. And shoes.
That was the best. So we go to a restaurant on stilts, like you do, because, you know.
Like you do.
And it has pictures of all the times that a hurricane has hit it, and you're like, well, you might want to move.
Not insured for that
maybe
anymore,
don't
are you?
Live here.
By the fourth picture, I think it's really on you now. So we get the alligator. We're eating it, and it comes with a lovely sauce that really was good. So we just asked the waitress, we're like, what, you know, what is the sauce? What are we enjoying here? And she's like, well, you know, it's kind of like a tiger sauce, and walks away. And we're like,
kind of sauce made from tigers?
Okay, this is my first alligator, and I've never had tiger. So what might be in the tiger sauce if I was to try and make that at home? And I can't remember what her explanation was, because we could not stop laughing at, you know, it's tiger sauce.
Okay. Stand by.
Remember that last time you ate a tiger? It was just like, and just her, just, and she was.
Those aren't pillows.
She was a half Southern, half Eastern European Rachel Dratch character, like with a little flip up in the back and blue eyeshadow. Like, she was so her own person and everything.
Wait, we're
going
to go live
funny
to Kat Carlson, who may have the ingredients.
Turns out, investigative reporting right here, turns out tiger sauce is a brand name available at Amazon.com.
Oh.
It's delicious.
Allegedly. For about $6.99 plus shipping, if you're not a Prime member.
Does it say what the ingredients of said tiger sauce? You know, tiger sauce.
Stand by. About the product. Perfect for meats, seafood, and poultry.
Contains no tiger.
Yeah.
Contains
tiger free since 1989.
Tiger sauce is a leading seller. Is an exotic, moderately spicy blend of 28 ingredients in a cayenne pepper base with a touch of sweet and sour. It's perfect for meat, seafood, and poultry.
It did feel so, like with a little bit of chili pepper. That was our guess.
Use Cat Childs.
Use as a table sauce for marinades and basting. Delicious on sandwiches.
On so many things.
In dips and soups. Amazon.com.
We might have to get some tiger sauce for our...
I really recommend it. It was lovely,
start
but just
tiger
the way
sauce on everything.
And we were just cracking up at her accent, like whether she was like from a pole vaulting team or a milkmaid from the South or just Rachel Dratch herself. Like we just could not come up with.
Frequently bought together.
Oh.
Plowboy's Yardbird Rub, 14 ounces.
Serves four.
Serves four. Comes in a bucket.
$11.49.
With Bud Light freshly squeezed out of a t-shirt.
Bad Byron's Butt Rub Barbecue Seasoning, 26 ounces.
Say the name again, please.
Yeah.
Bad Byron's Butt Rub Barbecue Seasoning, 26 ounces. $16.21. That's 62 cents per ounce.
Oh.
In case you were wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you've got a ration up by
Aaron, Aaron, she did not sell it as a condiment. She sold it as something you would serve on a tiger because of her accent. Like it was 99% delivery of like tiger sauce. Okay. I'm good.
Yeah. Now don't you feel stupid?
Yeah.
I guess when she walked away, like, well, apparently I'm supposed to know what this is.
But I'm glad that we guessed some of the right things and we both said, like, should we Google it? And we're like, no, it's just better if we think it's tiger sauce.
For now. Otherwise, you might not finish
the
meal. The
sauce of the tiger.
Yeah, but alligator is just, it's got that chewy, like almost like an onion ring, like that chewy calamari consistency. Not chewy, but you know what I mean? Like it's got that.
I feel like that's kind of universally reptile, though, because I feel like rattlesnake kind of was the same deal.
That kind of
chewy, rubbery. Similar. I don't really taste a lot of things except for all of the motherfucking spices that you put on it to make it taste like a thing.
Like everything else. It's the 19 things you put on it. Right. And why would you buy an alligator head? I don't get that part. They sold alligator
like,
skull. I don't know if you call it a skull, but exoskeleton. Like, whatever the fuck that like. But
wait,
they were,
say that again?
The alligator head.
They right. sold With skin these, on it? Like the whole head?
They were all different ways, but they were for sale everywhere down there. Like there was all kinds
of southern thing.
It's like when you go to Texas and there's steer heads,
longhorns,
longhorns
and shit. It's same.
I don't get it either. I wouldn't. I mean, what are you gonna do with it?
Yeah, I'm like.
I mean, they're kind of cool when you find them like in the wild and you're
exactly.
Woods
like if
or
I
whatever.
Wrestled the motherfucker on the ground and brought it home, sure, there's a
we're
story.
Hanging but
if that ever
along,
happens,
right?
there better be video because I want to see Al Perkins wrestle an alligator. That's what I want to see.
Q Talk America on location.
Right, going live. Get your fucking wrestling. Phone out now.
Do it now.
Alrighty. All right. Go ahead, Kat.
Speaking of the South, drinking a cold one in traffic rarely ends well. It's especially true when the car in the next lane is labeled Orlando Police Department.
Oh, yeah.
That's how Edgar Cortez found himself in jail shortly before noon Saturday on charges of driving with an open container, carrying a concealed firearm, and armed possession of pot with intent to sell.
He was loaded for bear.
He was partying and ready to go. Mm-hmm. As I passed the vehicle, I observed the driver drink from a bottle that appeared to resemble that of an alcoholic beverage. Officer Sanchez wrote, the bottle's contents appeared to be dark yellow in color, reasonably appearing to me to be either the color of beer or urine.
Good go.
Chances are you aren't going to drink piss.
Now you're on a road trip?
In Orlando, I think there might be a rest stop available nearby.
With a little light action on the side, you don't know.
Yeah. These pit, what are they called? What would you call them?
Rest stops. Yeah, I went with a fancy term. I went with the Latin.
Rest us, stop us.
Turns out Cortez's suspicious behavior alerted the officer to the problem. Initially, he did not want to pass my patrol vehicle and wanted to stay behind, avoiding a traffic stop. I knew he was doing this because he reduced his speed to almost a complete stop. Both cars drove slowly east on Vineland Road until Cortez passed, and Sanchez lit up his patrol car's red lights. Approaching the stopped Honda Compact, Sanchez wrote he drew his pistol and ordered Cortez to raise his hands after watching him push.
No, I'll spill my beer.
Upon approaching the vehicle, he also noticed the smell of unburned marijuana and spotted an open bottle of Corona between the front passenger seats.
Oh, there's your urine appearance right there.
And
Corona
taste.
And taste.
Right? Oh.
Wow. Same.
It's a twofer. Same great taste.
Oh.
Same color, same great taste.
In conclusion of the same old story, Cortez was released from the Orange County Jail after posting bail.
Did it say how much his bail was?
It didn't say how much his bail was and does not list an attorney.
I enjoy
If you're going to, seriously, put it in a Circle K cup. Like, have you learned nothing?
Oh, no shit. A roadie, totally.
That Q Talk America is at all
exactly condoning this behavior.
Look at that.
But
what am I drinking? The magic.
Could be pee, could be.
Well, chances are, no.
We always say portable as well as potable.
Yes.
It's nice.
Oh, it is.
It's nice.
Yes.
It's
lovely.
Carry on.
Aldi, did you have something else?
Well, do you have the Eggers?
The Eggers?
No. No, you do.
So in the beautiful state of Utah.
Do I need to find a picture?
No. Okay. You might. I don't know if this comes with the picture. Oh. They have cracked open a case involving a mother who allegedly helped her teenage daughter go on an egging rampage.
Oh, my God.
Investigators say Jennifer Terry, 44, drove her daughter and several other teens around Weber County on August 20th so they could throw eggs
County.
Weber County.
They pronounce it Weber.
No.
They would. It only has one B. That's fair.
Well, sure.
Could throw eggs at as many as 20 homes and cause several thousand dollars in damage.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
There's a
Terry
lovely
was
picture.
Arrested just this past Monday. That I guess it makes it yesterday. Mm-hmm. In charge of the Class A misdemeanor. The egg tossers allegedly threw an estimated 15 dozen eggs at various homes and peoples. The estimated damage included a $2,343 bill to repair one home's stucco and a $3,000 bill for damage to a car's ignition. Along with broken screens, windows, and furniture.
Hokey smokes.
Some victims report they've been unsuccessful in completely cleaning up the mess. Oh.
Some were completely successful. Some were unsuccessful. So, yeah.
I feel like this should have been above the fold. Like, this is tragedy in Utah.
This really is.
Weber County is reeling from the
breaking
attacks.
News. And not all
dozen
we
eggs.
Have not rebuilt completely from the egging catastrophe of August 20th.
Let me tell you.
8:20. We'll never forget.
When did the alleged egging happen? Because I'm going to point out that those of you that don't buy a lot of groceries might not have realized, but the price of eggs rose astronomically this last year. And apparently there was some bird flu. I don't know. Some bullshit happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did not know this. But breaking news to me.
No, eggs, a dozen eggs, just like regular caged, inhumanely raised eggs, used to be like $1.50, $1.79 a dozen. And now they're almost $4 a dozen, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's a huge increase.
I didn't realize.
So I'm curious to know, did they buy the eggs before the price increased?
Exactly. Did they realize the commodity they were tossing out the window?
Did they realize how much money they just flung out the window? Because I don't even want to do the math. That's like $50 worth of eggs.
Right.
Think of all the liquor you could buy.
Plus the thousands of dollars in damages to broken screens, windows, and or furniture.
You know, as an alleged former delinquent and alleged former egg thrower.
There was no video at the time.
Exactly, due to a lack of witnesses, we remain alleged.
There was no internet at the time, nor cell phones, nor portable devices of any kind to do recording with, unless they were like...
And you could kill a bitch before she could get to Photomat and get those pictures developed.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you could track her down and just rip that stuff out of that tiny little can.
Now, according to, it's a channel that Al didn't know existed previously, CNBC.com.
Oh.
U.S. egg prices continued their upward climb following the most devastating outbreak of bird flu in decades. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, prices of large grady eggs delivered to stores in the Midwest regional area were at the range of $2.73 to $2.81 a dozen. This was in August of this year. This is what this report is from. More than 40 million birds were affected by the avian flu a year ago.
So chicken got cheaper, but eggs got more expensive. Because suddenly
what's the taste? Oh, it's just tiger sauce.
Yeah, it's right. Comes from real tigers and a little touch of virus.
Wow. I get the SARS up in there, too.
Yeah.
God damn.
I gotta say, a thrown egg is oddly satisfying.
And it does say right here, the last line of the story, as this happens, consumers can expect egg prices to further be squeezed, and one analyst forecasting $6 a dozen. Hokey smokes, that's insane.
A lot. Time to find yourself a healthy chicken and start...
Just put in the backyard.
Yeah, for real.
I don't know how to finish that sentence, because I don't know what makes a chicken lay an egg. Like
just eating.
Tuesday. No, seriously, chickens...
They just shoot eggs out.
And we're going to go to our farm report
they
now
just
with
do.
Cat Carlson. I like the farm report. I wish I had music for the farm report.
Oh my God, we need the farm report.
How do birds breed? Like, do they fuck and then it gets into that hard egg shell?
That I'm not 100% sure. I think fertilization...
Does he, like, come on the egg once it's out? Like,
no,
how does that happen?
I think the egg does get fertilized internally. However, the egg is still produced.
Oh, okay.
And most female species still produce the egg,
whether it's fertilized or not. Right. It's called the cycle.
Right. Happens. So, yeah, the egg still comes out. And
seasons of love.
By the way, none of us are experts.
Slightly different meaning.
How do you measure?
None of us are experts on
how do you measure
procreation.
A year in an egg.
But no, a healthy, happy chicken will lay... an egg every day,
How many do the unhappy chickens lay a day? The ones that are angry chickens.
They are shooting them from the patio into the traffic.
They're like the ping pong show.
They're much like a delinquent cat Carlson, and they're sitting on that third floor balcony just heaving them out onto Emmaus Avenue.
Heaving them out.
And older chickens produce larger eggs on average.
Well.
Oh, that sounds wrong.
That's good.
I know.
So if you get a large egg, it's from some old lady chicken.
Or an ostrich.
Who's just too fat to care.
Some large marge old lady chicken.
Pick that up.
Yeah.
Pick that up.
Lift this up, you fucking turd.
Now what?
Oh. Well,
police said Terry confessed to the eggings and she said she did it because of certain familial problems she was having and because she simply did not care.
Oh.
According to the criminal report obtained by KSL.com.
Her bucket of fucks was empty.
Her bucket of fucks was empty.
She had none to give.
She had familial problems in this hand and an empty bucket of fucks over here.
And zero fucks over here.
Oh, like my gosh.
Some people eat fertile eggs on purpose. Oh.
That's funny stuff.
Don't you always want to look for like a shadow of the chicken in the, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, well, coming up in just moments, probably less talk about eggs, or maybe
probably.
More.
You don't know my life.
We have some breaking news about the lovely and talented Donald Trump, as well as more headlines. What else are we going to talk about? The drinking word is coming up, and just so many more things in 2 more hours of a show that, again, the critics have called a nice attempt. This is Q Talk America.
And still on the air.
And we're lucky to be here. And you're lucky to listen. We'll be back in just moments. Stick with us, please.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, hi, diddly ho, neighbor. Thank you for joining us again. Hour 2 is coming at you. We are in Studio C. I don't know what you just went to get, but you got 2 bottles of it there, Kat Carlson.
Liquor.
Okay. Al's enjoying some wine.
I'm enjoying some wine.
I am. I have some kind and delicious leftovers from my Thanksgiving extravaganza. So.
Got it. I have in the fridge, and I don't even know the quality of it, but I'm sure you'll help me with this. Remember the old, on AbFab, they were always drinking Stoli vodka and Boli?
Yeah.
Stoli Boli? Mm-hmm. I have a bottle of Boli. That I was given.
Oh, Bollinger's. Yeah,
I was given as a gift from my friend Tom Jetland, who owns the Switch restaurant. He gave it to me I helped him with a technical thing with his computer one day, and he just said, "Here, take this with you." So I'm saving it. So next week I will. I think it's champagne. I think.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know that's Stoli Boli.
Stoli's vodka.
Yeah, and that one I think somebody might actually have done. But like that was something. They didn't make that one up. But when they came back, like a few years later, they were drinking, and with the accent it rhymes, but Veuve Clicquot and bourbon. It was like verb and burb.
Oh, I remember them saying that, right.
Yeah, and it was just their accent made it rhyme. And they were shocked to find out that people thought it was real and started to order it in bars.
Oh.
And it was just because it rhymed.
And bartenders hated everybody. Did.
Well, I would say the Stoli Boli is kind of the same way, according to MixThatDrink.com. It came literally out of AbFab, and then people started ordering it.
But because Carlton would put, after we were watching it, Carlton would put some vodka into wine, and that tasted pretty good, like ice cold, you know, the vodka out of the freezer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And pour it into the wine, and it would kind of chill down your wine. Not, it wasn't like a half and half mixture, but it was kind of funny. And then one time we tried the Stoli Boli, and it was actually, it wasn't bad.
Right.
But I wasn't sure. That one, I wasn't sure if it was made up, but Verve Burb was definitely made up. And she was shocked that people followed her into that. Like,
no.
She almost wanted to put a disclaimer, like, it just rhymed and it sounded like
it
something
worked, right.
These two fucktards would drink.
Before we continue on very much further in this hour, let's get this out of the way. It's our drinking disclaimer, and it goes a little something like this.
And now, a drink along.
We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
I think it has to be tiger sauce.
Tiger sauce! I was hoping. I was holding my, literally holding my breath hoping for that.
Oh, tiger sauce. Well,
it's
all right.
It's going to be a good day.
It's always a good day.
I can't find that other tiger sauce drink.
Yes.
You can't find what?
The other AbFab drink.
It's, I think Vouv is V-U-E-V-E. It's Vouv Clicquot, the...
I honestly don't know.
Oh, however you pronounce widow. It means widow in French.
Oh, gotcha.
She was the widow Clicquot.
By the way, hi Anant. I see you in the old chat room, and I didn't say hi to Harrison, but she's in there as well.
And Aaron.
And Joe, I have no idea. We'll have to figure out that because I'm waiting for. We just did a new. We just did a photo shoot this past weekend, and we have some updated pictures coming for the show. So Katie June can be taken out of the intro of the show, and it can actually be Kat not photoshopped in. It'll be you.
I mean, that was a good picture.
Oh no, it was a great picture.
In fact, it was a fun Photoshop too.
It was. I was trying to find. Actually, Kat, do you have another story? Right quick, I'm going to find something.
Oh, if I not, stand by. No, I totally can. I've got. All right,
go.
Here's a question: what is crazier than buying a $2 million car?
Tiger sauce.
Yes, and buying said $2 million car that you haven't seen a picture of.
Oh yeah.
Haven't test driven, and nobody knows what it's going to be. Bugatti said on Monday that it will unveil its new hypercar called the Chiron at the Geneva Motor Show in March. Despite the fact that there are no official pictures and no one has been able to test drive the car, the company has already received 100 orders for the car. It's especially impressive because while Bugatti has yet to announce the price, wealthy car collectors who have attended a special preview event tell CNBC that the sticker price for the Chiron will be $2.4 million.
That's just stupid. I don't care what it does. I mean, flies, yes, we're up there. You can get the first million for flying.
I'm going to look that up and see how much a plane costs. To order the car, buyers are required to put down a paltry $200,000. Measly. The sales are further proof that the very tippy top of car market remains strong despite economic jitters around the world, meaning that the 1% still has... way too much.
Exactly,
money.
And that's exactly what that says.
Yeah, that's not a sign of economic stability. That's a sign of the people that have all of the money still having
are buying stupid
and
shit
and buying really stupid shit. Gearheads might want to know the Chiron reportedly has even more horsepower and speed than and everything else
than an actual
than any
horse.
Other right than an actual horse. It is said to be the successor to the Bugatti Veyron, which launched in 2005 and became the fastest production car on the planet, with the supersport version hitting a top speed of over 260 miles per hour with 1,200 horses. Must be a big car.
Yeah, it's a lot of horses.
I'll bet it smells a lot like
Orleans. Oh, like Bourbon Street.
The Veyron sold out of its production run of 450 cars, and the last version of the Veyron rolled off the production line just this year.
See, and like, I wouldn't even know if it came up and ran me over.
No, no, the funny
glamorous
thing is...
glamorous socialite hit by Chevron. What was the name of that car?
Yes, Chiron.
Chiron.
Our friend Jason Carlton, if he were here, because he is a huge car fanatic. And
he would tell me a lot of things about the muffler bearings.
He would sit here and justify why the car is worth it. Like, he would sit here and go for the whole thing. Like, he'd explain everything. I'm like,
No, it's not. It still just gets me to the Piggly Wiggly and back.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I mean, Al seemed to get from the airport home today perfectly well in a 25-year-old truck with 206,000 miles today. Cost me nothing. I mean, really.
did you see that Onion article last week? Toyota recalls the 1992...
No.
Tercel.
Tercel, just because. It's time you turned it in and got a new car. It because was such of a sauce. Funny article. Okay, so an accused underwear thief is arrested in Portland.
Oh.
Officials say a Portland man has been arrested for breaking into a neighbor's home and stealing women's undergarments. The Oregonian, reports that Daniel Kowach, 24, told the police he had thought about breaking into a neighbor's home many times just to see if he could get away with it. He reportedly did that early Sunday. The couple living there chased him out and called police. Police say they found the man's jacket on the roof with two pairs of women's underwear, maxi pads, and a large Bowie knife in his pockets.
Sure. I didn't want to know what the Bowie knife was doing.
Yeah. Kowach reportedly told the police he took the items from a dryer in the home, that he has an obsession with women's underwear, and it's getting worse.
Oh.
He has been booked on burglary and criminal mischief charges.
Oh, there's the mischief.
He's a winner.
Thank God, criminal mischief.
I bet part of the problem was he'd had too much tiger sauce. Guessing.
Just a drop. Just a little. Just a tip.
All right. Tiger sauce.
This is a very funny article, by the way. Did you want to hear the Toyota recall?
Oh, by all means.
Let's. From The Onion, saying it was simply time for drivers to move on, Toyota Motor Corporation issued a recall of its entire 1993 Camry model line on Wednesday due to the fact that its owners really should have bought something new by now. Quote, we understand that the 1993 Camry was tremendously dependable, but honestly, there's just no excuse for driving a 22-year-old car at this point, said Toyota spokesperson. Adding that with all the advances in automotive technology that have taken place, no one really had any business driving a vehicle more than two decades. We're not saying you have to buy a new 2015 Camry or splurge on a flashy new hybrid or even that your car has to be a Toyota at all. The bottom line is that you need to start fresh, however you choose to do so. While Toyota is reportedly confining its recall to the 1993 Camry, it also issued a warning to owners of 1994 to 1998 models, alerting them to the fact that they were really starting to push it.
I love that article.
That is very funny.
What do you got?
Though we discourage it, we are sure that some people out there have watched Fox News Channel's Fox and Friends. They had a series leading up to Thanksgiving called Cooking with Friends.
Oh.
They were cooking with people who apparently were friends, I'm going to assume.
Yeah, sure. Seems fair.
Where the Fox News Channel news personalities, and I'm going to use that in air quotes.
Oh, news and personalities.
Yeah, which, by the way, I found out that Fox News is banned in Canada as a news source. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not.
It's listed as entertainment. It is not looked at as an actual news source.
I love that.
Yeah. Anywho, good job, Canada. Fox News personalities would share recipes and do cooking demonstrations on the morning show. Well, on November 25th, it was Harris Faulkner's turn. Apparently, he's one of the talking heads on that stupid channel. I'm sorry, Harris Faulkner apparently is a woman. My bad. And she made peach cobbler with the assistance of her daughter Bella.
Yeah, yeah. Bella was beautiful. By the way.
Well, things got just a little awkward, and I'm going to play you the audio clip of how this got awkward. So take a listen to this.
Can do this. I do it in the summer, and I put fresh strawberries in here too.
Oh, what a good idea!
Do you make Kool-Aid?
That's another.
I'm going to try this.
Do I do what?
Make Kool-Aid.
No, I don't make Kool-Aid. But I made an adult beverage for us.
He did.
Okay, so those of you who haven't seen that. The Harris Faulkner is a lovely black woman who is making this peach cobbler, and the gentleman who asks her the entirely racist, stereotypical question of "Do you make Kool-Aid?" is a white dumbass from the channel from Fox and Friends.
Is it Ducey? Is it Brian Ducey?
Is that his name? I don't know his name.
Yeah, I don't know their names either.
So,
but he's the
oh one. No, it's Kilmeade. Kilmeade says it.
Oh, okay. That's the one with the dark hair.
Yeah, dark hair guy.
Yeah, the dark haired one is, and they make him. They try to parody him on Saturday Night Live, but you can't get dumber than he really is.
Got it. So just in case you didn't catch it, listen again to the audio clip where he asks the question: "Do you make Kool-Aid?"
You can do this. I do it in the summer, and I put fresh strawberries in here too.
Oh, what a good idea!
Do you make Kool-Aid?
I'm going to try this.
Do I do what?
Make Kool-Aid.
No, I don't make Kool-Aid, but I made an adult beverage for us.
Oh, for Christ's sakes. I just know how much more...
And it's one of those things...
horrible.
And everyone kept freezing on the daughter's face when she rolls her eyes at him. It only works as a meme because it's really hard to catch in what she's actually rolling her eyes at. But they making this lovely peach cobbler, and it's kind of a... The recipe looks lovely.
I, j-
Then she's talking about adding fresh strawberries and how you can dress it up.
And peaches and
do you all make Kool-Aid? Yes, I can pour powdered sugar into a pitcher with water.
Oh my God, it was like, it's just horrible. So I just put the link in the chat room for that story if you'd like to watch the video yourself, because watching it and then the uncomfortable look on the woman who's making the peach cobbler, it's just, you can just see the look of
her face is legit of like, you know, that's just powdered sugar and water.
Oh no, I didn't take it as that. I took it more as
No. Yeah, I know. But
really, Whitey, you're asking me that question?
Right. Because it's like asking the chef is on the show preparing a lovely thing, right. And then it's either you think she's stupid and doesn't know how to mix Kool-Aid, or you just want to know if all black people make Kool-Aid in the summer. Like,
see, and I'm a little bit more with Aaron from LA in the chat room, because I listened to the clip and they said, you know, blah 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 in the summer, and I had summers full of Kool-Aid. Like, I'm a little kid, like everybody did, right? Like, so, like, I could totally come at it from a perspective of you're making the summer dish. Oh, I feel like some fucking Kool-Aid would be delightful with this.
Right.
Maybe a little vodka in that.
Vodka.
But it's just one of those things where you're on a cooking show and someone's preparing something like that and your mind went to, like...
Right. I feel, though, I don't know.
Like, I feel like the level of the conversation was a little above...
Should have been.
Kool-Aid.
Should have been.
But of course. Sure. So, and it could be that he didn't mean it like that. It's a way to take it way out of perspective.
Hey, summertime, delicious things. I'm looking at a little kid. Kids drink Kool-Aid.
Well, with the reputation that Fox already has.
That's a little
Yeah, the bed's already kind of made against him. But oh my God.
I think that's less malicious racism than this show, for sure.
Right.
Like, I feel like we're more intentional in our racism.
Yeah,
I feel like our protesters have more to talk about outside than
free racism, highly paid racism. That's what they have.
They're doing okay out there.
Got it.
I think they just made a nice little picture of Country Time on the front lawn there.
And now, because, and I don't know why, like, our thing was high C in Hawaiian Punch.
Oh, sure.
Was my drink of choice as a child.
Yeah.
That's how I was getting my sugar beaties on.
Red Kool-Aid is the way it went in my house. Right, no other kind.
But you know, when you
Tropical
go to
Punch,
to,
Red Kool-Aid.
To Lolo's Chicken and Waffles, that is the
red drink.
Comes the Kool-Aid.
Yep. Yep. I haven't been yet. I keep
I've still not been to Lolo's. I passed it the other day on Central. I've never been there.
Yeah, it was just one of those, and it's only from like Lolo's and all those different things with the drink, and it's just because it's Fox. Like anywhere else, it would have just been like, you're gonna ask someone who's making this lovely meal if they can prepare Kool-Aid.
We're gonna make some gourmet fucking cobbler and Kool-Aid.
I would have loved to have seen in the control room of Fox. Like, he just said, what did he just say? What, really? Get camera two. Go camera two.
Yeah.
Like, get anything off of him.
And that is the dog whistle thing of people some hearing something that may or may not be there, but it just didn't play. It just didn't play
it
right.
It did not play. But the look on her face when she's like, what did you just ask me? Because the adult woman, but the little girl was priceless, too. That was quite funny.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But she really had to see it frozen to catch it.
Right, because it's quick.
It was quick.
Yes, it was. Anything else catch you going with?
Sure.
Go.
We'll do a little bit of restoring our faith in humanity.
Mm. How's that possible?
We'll see.
Okay.
We're gonna find out. This one seems
challenge accepted.
Seems mildly uplifting. The Twin Cities Minnesota Salvation Army is celebrating.
It's actually Minnesota St. Paul.
Let me not rearrange the sentence.
Wow.
I don't want to confuse foreign listeners as to what the Twin Sisters' name is.
The Twin Cities Salvation Army in Minnesota.
Oh, beautifully said.
Is celebrating its largest single donation from a couple who say they have faced hard times themselves. Amid the dozens of shoppers coming and going from the Cub Foods in Rosemont on Saturday, one couple dropped a $500,000 check in one of the organization's emblematic red kettles. We are simply stunned and honored to have received such a generous gift, Twin Cities Commander Major Jeff Strickler said. It is a true blessing, and it could not come at a better time for the Salvation Army and the people we serve. Volunteers from the Rosemont Fire Department were manning the kettle at the time, but didn't realize the large donation had been made until several hours later.
90 minutes. So
90 minutes.
After that bell had been rung. Tiger sauce.
The donation quickly, I would say probably immediately, became the Twin Cities organization's largest ever, surpassing the previous record
of $1.50.
Of 18 cents into pocket lunch. No, the previous paltry, measly record of $25,000. This donation made the organization's goal of raising $11.6 million a real possibility, because look at that. Bam, half a million. They've since reached out to the couple, but the pair wishes to remain anonymous. However, they said they hope the generous gift would prompt others to be generous, according to their statement.
So, and they have kind of a an iffy track record on a bunch of different things.
Salvation Army.
I always that person standing there ringing the bell.
The poor guy ringing the bell.
Because I always think it's what's her butt from Guys and Dolls.
Oh,
she was with the Salvation Army. Yeah. So I just assume they're going to break into song. Yeah. She were a bell.
Well, if they were to break into song, that would be a lot more entertaining than just that annoying goddamn bell.
I can make suggestions for them.
Yeah. So
got your horse right here.
Now you have turned into Katie June.
That's all I know. I know that, and his name is Paul Revere. Blah 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 blah.
And
I don't know
the rest of the song.
I didn't see this headline.
Can do.
It's our once annual singing of the traditional fugue for tin horns.
I thought you were going to do Ring Them Bells by Liza Minnelli.
We can do that too.
I just saw this. This may not necessarily be breaking news, as the dateline here shows 10 hours ago, but I had not heard of this in any of the news sources today that I continually listen to. But who knows if he's serious, but Donald Trump now says he might just pull out of that December 15th Republican presidential debate unless CNN, the cable network broadcasting the actual event from Las Vegas, Nevada, pays him $5 million.
What?
Trump says he would, of course, donate the money to veterans' charities, naturally. But the idea, which he contemplated on stage for more than 8 minutes on Monday night during a rally in Macon, Georgia, is pretty much preposterous for several reasons. For starters, there's absolutely no precedent for this. Alan Schroeder, a journalism professor at Northeastern University and the author of a 2008 book about presidential debates, said one of the things about debates that is positive is that they've always been separate from the whole financial aspect of campaigning. He goes, "This is extortion. I hope CNN calls his bluff and kicks him out of the thing." I would love that. If there's a podium in the center and it's just vacant because he's going to demand this.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
You know what? First of all, Donald Trump is not going to follow through, because remember the birth certificate bullshit? He never showed. Wasn't it Trump that "I'll show mine if you show me yours, Mr. President"?
Oh, right, yeah.
He never showed.
Yeah, and then sued because Bill Maher said he would give like $5 million. He would do $5 million if Donald Trump could prove he wasn't the son of an orangutan.
Yeah, I remember that.
Funny. Number two, I think what we're seeing is the end result of like one of the worst decisions in American history, and that was to profit on the news.
Right.
Oh, I thought the worst decision ever was just to give Donald Trump airtime.
Yeah.
No, but it is like the fact that there are people profiting on CNN and CNBC. Like, those companies are for-profit companies. They're not.
Right.
It's not the hour set aside it used to be for.
Right. When the FCC was established and they said, okay, we're going to have these channels and we're going to regulate TV and we're going to do this thing, you have to set aside an hour every day on each channel, which is why there was a nightly news competing on every channel. You have to set an hour aside for public service announcements, for news and information, and to reach the people, because we need to have a vehicle to get to these people, and this is a wonderful vehicle. And now you have to give that up. Like, you can advertise and sell all the rest of your motherfucking time, but the people get an hour
of news. Yeah.
Right.
So it's an unbiased...
Right.
Look at the
well,
news.
It didn't have. They didn't necessarily. It was unbiased. That was something that.
Oh, I would have assumed
that
it was,
came from journal.
From the ethics of journalism, because journalism is supposed to be somewhat unbiased and supposed to be just
tell the story.
Right. After the years of yellow journalism and all
that
stuff.
Right. Well, and that's a continuation of like a newspaper philosophy going into television. But then with the emergence of the 24-hour news cycle and the CNN and the first cable news channel, like.
Well, CNN, if you remember, before when they were struggling to get stories back in the 80s, that was
some bleak
times. Like, you could maybe watch 20 minutes, and they would seriously be like, and now we're going to see grass grow in Idaho.
But, I mean, if you want to pick out some things that really, like, were seemingly benign decisions that have really hurt the American people, profiting on news is one of the big
ones. Yeah, and 24-hour news is another one, because now you have to keep a cycle alive that really should. But they've all kind of learned, because, and I don't know enough about Fox. You know, I tune in, but I don't leave it on for any point of time. But, like, MSNBC after, like, 8:30 is, like, true jail stories.
Oh,
and,
sure.
Like,
the
minute there's not a news story, CNN
hours,
goes
right.
to, like, Anthony Bourdain and... Then it's, what's the show on HLN?
Oh, Forensic Files?
Forensic Files. Or
unless there's a plane lost. Like, they're not continuing that after
prime. Oh, then we're
going
to beat up everything.
When they go to those, they get bad. Unless it's a plane crash, because plane crashes get great ratings.
Right.
Unless it's that, they actually do well with Lisa Ling and Anthony Bourdain, especially. Bourdain.
Oh, I do enjoy that Lisa Ling series. In fact, there's a new one either tonight or tomorrow night that I'm sure my DVR will catch, because I have it set for that.
Yeah.
She's fantastic. She
Lisa
goes
Ling,
in.
Yeah. She was good on Nat Geo, too. I liked her on there.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. On all the things.
Speaking of Nat Geo, is it Nat Geo or is it Discovery? I saw an excerpt from the new that documentary about, what is it? It's called Racing Against Extinction. Is that what it's called? There's a new, about the whole world. I think that's what it's called. Like, damn it. And I think it's the Discovery Channel that's doing it. Racing Extinction or something to that effect. It is. There was an excerpt from it that was like, it scared the hell out of you, because like you go through and they actually had a recording, I think it was in Hawaii, of a bird that it was the very last bird.
Get that DNA.
The male of the last bird chirping, looking for a female that was never going to show up because that was the last one. Like,
oh.
And it was like, the bird would be extinct. And it was like, okay, that's even more scary than other things you're showing me. Like, literally, this was the documentation of the extinction of a species.
Oh, that's so sad.
Because of forestry going away and all the other things.
Yeah, deforestation,
you know. And then there was an interesting thing about, I forget which country it was in, but the population of the country exploded so much that this forest where these certain species of gorillas and tigers and other things are, like, this poor guy who has 24-hour guards on him who's trying to protect this forest, but they're trying to take him out because other people just want to come in and level the forest and build cities so they can make money.
Oh, yeah.
It was insane to see this excerpt of it. I think it's Discovery Channel.
Discovery Channel, and you're correct.
Racing Extinction. So that just looks like a fantastic documentary on... And is it a series or is it just a one hit? Does it say?
I don't see. Watch the World. Premieres December 2nd, which I feel like is tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
It is. Very good. Cat is on it.
I believe it's a documentary. It says, watch this sneak peek of the first 4 minutes of the film. So it's got to be a documentary.
Okay. So it's probably just a one, like, hour, 2 hour, whatever it is. Anywho, interesting. Super, super interesting.
My goodness.
Tiger sauce. Well, they should have the tiger sauce ready for that bird.
We need more tiger sauce.
Don't we all? I think I want a piece of pie for some reason. That's what I want.
I love pie.
Yes.
I was supposed to make a pie today and I did not.
I have extra so much fucking pie still.
Oh my god, everywhere. What kind you got?
Yeah.
I love pie. All right. This is a fun one. This one comes up every year about now. The 12 Days of Christmas would cost how much now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this now, comes up every year.
From
it's always
year to year.
Interesting,
sure. Yeah. This year, if you were to sing the 12 Days of Christmas and buy all of the items each time they are mentioned in the song, you would spend $155,000, $407.
Hokies.
$407.18.
Wow. Yeah. Jeez. Okay.
Some examples. A partridge in a pear tree now costs $215, which is up $7 from last year. Two turtle doves, $260 last year, and now they sell for $290.
Because there's only three left in the world, so you're buying two of the last three.
French hens are still cheap. The price of three French hens, $182, staying firm from last year.
Are they alive or dead, these French hens? They sound delicious.
Tiger sauce.
This one shows them either stuffed or alive. I can't quite tell. The four calling birds, we've decided they're canaries. That would be $600, which is also the same as last year. Five golden rings will set you back $750. The six geese a-laying are $360. Seven swans, and they're swimming.
Do you get price of moat not included? tiger sauce on the side, please.
Tiger sauce sold separately.
A ramekin of tiger sauce.
Seven swans, a swimming or not, will cost you a whopping $13,125.
Fuck a duck. Jesus.
Also, the same as last year. There's not a lot of inflation happening here.
On the swan scene. And now from swan capital.
Now, what about swan eggs? We had a story earlier about chicken eggs. Are swan eggs also being extorted?
I don't know shit about swan eggs. I feel like nobody's eating them. In true American fashion, your eight maids of milking, super cheap. Super cheap. $58.
Ladies, undervalued.
Maids of milking. The nine ladies dancing, however, apparently strippers are making more money. $7,500 per performance for your nine ladies dancing.
50 extra for the handy.
And a bus pass to get the fuck out of here.
Apparently people are not as interested in dudes. Your 10 lords of leaping, $5,500. 11 pipers piping, $2,600. And the 12 drummers drumming, $2,855 per performance.
Well, it's the union.
Yeah. Now, if the drummers and the pipers and the leapers could get together and put on a Blue Man kind of show.
If you could get a drumming leaper.
It'd be like Blue Man does Swan Lake.
Yeah, you're in. Exactly. Well, milking one cow.
I've bought eighth row center to that. Like, I'm on board for Blue Man Nutcracker. I'm in.
The Blue Man Nutcracker Leaper drummer.
Totally.
Milker.
Ba-rumpa bum bum.
That was good. Tiger sauce.
So now you know.
Wow.
Who knew?
Well, I'm sure it's fun. How much does it cost if we just play the song? I wonder what they're going to ding us
for. I feel like
that's
royalty free.
I would hope to God it would be.
And I was like the one that I put on every year, the 12 Gays of Christmas.
Oh, I saw that one already.
Where they mock the...
dance moves. Yeah,
they
do
the dance moves of the Rockettes, but it's the 12 boys, and it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that version, the 12 Days of Christmas, what's a pear tree? It's so cute, that song.
Reliant
K, I think is what it's called. It's the name of the band that does that song.
I don't know.
I still enjoy the one, and I can't think of the name of her right now, but the 12 Drinks of Christmas, which is, I have it, and it's even on YouTube. You can find a video of the lady. She was a lounge singer in Vegas, and she did it many years ago, the 12 Drinks of Christmas, where progressively throughout the song, she just gets more and more smashed.
Yes. Oh, I haven't seen that in a
while.
That's
smart.
It's very, very cute, because Tish Tanner here in town used to do that years ago.
And I think that's who I saw.
Just funny stuff. Speaking of the holidays, I want to show you all right quick on if those of you who are watching who may not see it. We have a local magazine called Ion AZ or Ion Arizona. And this past weekend, or 2 weeks ago, was it 2 weeks ago?
Where are we going?
This past weekend. Anyway,
yeah.
A couple Saturdays ago, they did a photo shoot. They asked us to be part of their holiday issue, and we graciously accepted. Unfortunately, Al was not able to be
on premises
due to things called life and work, so he couldn't join us. But this picture came out today of Marnie, who's wearing her Santa's favorite hoe shirt, and then Kat and myself in the center. It came out very well, and this is also, we used the same photo shoot to piggyback our new updated shots for us, which Al will be photoshopped into later.
Yeah, that's fine. So, I like the way you Photoshop.
Yeah, so Kevin Bouchaw and the cast over there at Ion AZ, thank you for that. It's a great shot. I thought it's a good picture of us.
Yeah,
it worked out very well for us.
Looks just like us.
It does. And the little beers in the little Santa and the Santa's helper koozie.
They're very cute.
That's very cute, too.
It was a good touch.
Yep, it all worked out for us.
That was good.
Yay for us. Okay, are we done beating headlines up? Al, do you have anything in the old entertainment you want to talk about?
I do.
Well, then by God, let me get this ready. Do this.
The stories keep
coming. And here you go, Al.
Entertainment!
Oh, I left most of my scream in New Orleans.
Huh? Like you do.
With poor shit and piss.
And then the iPod went blank.
And the smell of regrets.
Let's see. It's Bette Midler's birthday, and we have a story about her.
Uh-oh.
National Board of Review puts out its movie of the year and other winners. We have a coming out story. We've got a Bette Midler feud.
A feud?
We have a bear rape story. Dates of the Adele concert.
So many things.
Hokey smokes.
Yeah.
What are you going to start with? Because I want to go make a new coffee for myself.
Well, I'll start with the National Board of Review.
That would be good.
And...
Clay, just went, I don't know what that is. I'm out.
I figured. December 1st is when traditionally the NBR puts out their best picture. They very rarely coincide with anything else. They usually make a very unusual choice, but they usually get something into the running that maybe was not on the radar previously for awards. And this year they went way off the beaten path. Yeah, and they chose... and now a fucking ad decided to pop up here. So let's get rid of that.
Son of a bitch with the advertising. That's what's wrong
NBR
with America.
NBR picks... Jesus Christ. Not that ad.
Picks the Geico ad.
Mad Max Fury Road to be the best of the best for the year.
You know what? I'm kind of on board with that.
I was too, because I was thoroughly entertained. I thought it was a rip-roaring
time. It was like a
time.
Roller coaster. It was like you didn't exhale the whole time. You spent the whole time going...
And a great message at the
exhale.
End, and a little feminism, great female
good.
Heroine.
There on, absolutely.
Great, I guess we just say great heroine. We don't have to put female in front of there. That's the tiger sauce on that story. action films are not usually the prime go-to movies for critics when it comes time to name the best of the year, but what's more, it's the only award the group gave it. So it didn't show up in lower categories. Okay. The Martian got a lot of love, and The Hateful Eight got some awards, so let's go through those. Carol and Brooklyn, two movies that I really get it. We've been talking about Carol quite a bit with Kate Blanchett. And Brooklyn is the movie with the Irish girl whose name I don't even, it's like Suarez. I don't even know how you pronounce her name. That's getting a lot of attention, probably in the awards coming. The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio and Joy are both missing as well. So, but they always go a little off the... They just get somebody new thought of. So, best film, Mad Max Fury Road. Best director, Ridley Scott for The Martian. Best actor, Matt Damon for The Martian. Best actress, Brie Larson for Room, which we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The mother and child trapped in the room where she has to make life good for him.
Right.
Because he doesn't know anything but inside the room. Supporting actor, Sylvester Stallone for Creed. Creed got some okay reviews for being Rocky Part 14.
I know some people that were kind of excited about it, and
yeah.
some like coming out of the movie reviews were like, "Yeah, it was good. It was one of the better Rocky movies of a long time."
Yeah,
so
possibly since the second one.
I can't say that I've had the patience to sit through an entire Rocky movie ever in my life. So
the first one is very, very good.
Yeah,
the first one is very good. Best supporting actress, Jennifer Jason Leigh, for The Hateful Eight, which is the Quentin Tarantino movie. He got a best original screenplay. Jennifer Jason Leigh is one of those people that she had a run in like the late 80s, early 90s, somewhere in there, where she had 4 years in a row where she should have been nominated. One of her best movies is Last Exit to Brooklyn. It's kind of violent. It's kind of awful, but she mm-hmm. was so good in it. But there were so many times where you thought she was like number six for that Oscar slot.
Or she was in Fast Times
over.
At Ridgemont High. She was in Single White Female. She was in 45 other things.
Yeah, she's one of those actresses that you're not quite sure of her name. And if I'm not mistaken, her father is Vic Morrow that got killed in the Twilight Zone movies.
Oh, okay. She was in the Hudsucker Proxy.
Yeah.
She was in... I love Google.
Yeah, she's been in everything. Best animated...
Road to Perdition. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, but her... Yeah. Just a long list, and a woman who's really gotten no formal recognition from anybody. So this is kind of good that her name's at least in the running for something.
Huh.
Adapted screenplay, Drew Goddard for The Martian. Animated feature, Inside Out.
Which was so good.
Yeah. I saw that recently and cried like...
Like a little baby, didn't you?
Yeah, that was all the feelings.
And the meme is true. Like 1997, what if toys had feelings? What if this had feelings? What if feelings had feelings?
Yeah. That was rough.
Well played, Pixar.
So the Beast of No Nation, the Abraham Atta, and someone has just offered to pay for... Someone has just come out that they're going to pay for his college, and I can't remember who said that, but this Beast of No Nation is the one that was on the Independent Spirit list last week. The little boy from Room also got breakthrough performance. Best directorial debut, Jonas... I don't have my glasses on, but it's for the movie Mediterranea. I'm not putting those glasses on again, and I can't see a fucking thing.
All right.
Best documentary, Amy, about Amy Winehouse. And the Spotlight Award is for that Sicario movie that's really getting a lot of attention. It's not really taking off in in the box office like they thought it would, but it's probably, everyone is saying, I have not seen this yet, but everyone is talking about this movie Sicario, and that it's like one of the best of the year, and it, I think it depends on if people just catch on to it. So for their top films, the MBR always does their top 10, Bridge of Spies, Creed, The Hateful Eight, Inside Out, Spotlight, which is the story of the Boston Herald getting the bringing out the story of the pedophile priests.
Oh, okay.
The Martian, Room, Sicario, and Straight Outta Compton were the what they chose as their what is that, 3, 6, 9? So that's their that and Fury Road make up their top 10. So always interesting. They're the ones 15 years or so ago they put oh, for the love of fuck, Moulin Rouge on the map.
Oh, okay.
Moulin Rouge kind of was not getting much attention going into award season. They named it the best picture of the year, and then they it like worked its way into other awards. People were like, oh, I guess we should take that seriously. So that's okay. The NBR for this year, and this is officially the start of award season, so be ready.
Hooray!
The Revenant, which is the Leonardo DiCaprio movie that everyone is, well, everyone being me, is hoping is this the year Leonardo finally gets his Oscar. Fox responds to reports of bear rape in The Revenant.
Spell that word, bear. Is it B-A-R-E or B-E-A-R?
Either would be an interesting story since the victim is Leo. On Tuesday, the internet exploded following a report that Oscar-winning director Alejandro Iñárritu, I don't know how to say that.
Is it European?
Cool. Yeah. Included a sequence in his new film, The Revenant, where Leonardo DiCaprio's character is raped by a bear. Not so fast, as the film studio. As anyone who's seen the movie can attest, the bear in the film is a female who attacks the character because she feels he might be threatening her cubs. There is clearly no rape scene with a bear. But this was a real thing.
A mauling, potentially.
This was a real thing on the internet.
I love the internet.
The movie, which will debut in limited release on Christmas Day, DiCaprio's character is a frontiersman who confronts the bear and her cubs without... While out in the woods, the bear attack has been featured heavily in film's marketing campaign and can be spotted in the trailer around the 53-second mark. If you don't know when it is, it's when there's a bear on top of a man. If I could offer any help in finding that scene without a timer.
I could spot that. Are those oatmeal cookies?
A couple of them are. There's chocolate chip.
I feel like I need an oatmeal
there's a macadamia.
This way. Thank you, sir.
Thrown your way. Oh! Ah!
I didn't say they were well put together.
I'll bet they're delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in this page, we're wondering why I pulled it up, because there's nothing on it. Now, 2.5 Men star in one of those people that's been on every sitcom at some point over the course of her entire career. Holland Taylor opens up about her sexuality.
Yeah. No, she's been on everything.
Yeah. So the 72-year-old star who nabbed a 2013 Tony Award nomination for her solo Broadway play, Anne, about Anne Richards, the former governor of Texas.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Her makeup and that, like, she was put together. She looked phenomenal. I mean, as phenomenal to look like Ann Richards as you can look.
She made the revelation that when asked if she'd ever consider marrying, she said her relationship with this woman was with a woman. And given my generation, marriage would not be something that would automatically occur to me. But she's mentioned it because from a spiritual point of view, from a heart point of view, as a deed that has a very rich symbolic gesture to it, she might do it.
No.
Has not revealed the identity of her girlfriend, but there's a big age difference.
At a girl.
said the lesbian in the room. Yeah, at a girl.
Okay, so her quote is, there's a very big age difference between us, which I'm sure shocked a lot of people, and it startles me. And she's also quick to clarify that this was not a coming out moment for her because she was already living an open and authentic life.
Good for her.
And she's been wrestling with this lately because most of her relationships have been with women, and she doesn't like talking about it because I don't like talking about the politics of it all because I'm not political about it. I think we're ridiculous in this country about it, and it's awkward because if I talk about relationships in my life or people that have been in my life or somebody I've been seeing for a while or this and that and the other thing, I'd like to be able to just say that without having to stop and say, so have you come out? No, I haven't come out because I'm out. I live out. So that's kind of a wonderful attitude for a woman who's been around a long time.
And she's been, for listeners that might not know just by the name, she's been in literally everything. She was the senior senator in Legally Blonde. She was in 2.5 Men. She was in The Practice. She was in Romancing the Stone. And she was in Baby Mama. She was in...
Comedic actress. I mean, she's so funny.
Funny and snarky. What else? Yes. Yeah. Everything. Like, I'm just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling so many things. She's been in everything. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know what
kind of working actress for like 40
in
solid
all of
years.
These things. Oh, wait. I wonder if I can do my time first.
Her days of being a waitress are long behind her.
Right.
Oh, she's only 60. I was like, for some reason, I thought of somebody else who'd been in everything, Edie McClurg.
I just
wanted to say how old she was. She's younger than I thought.
Well, and she was in Carrie. The funny thing is she went from playing a teenager in Carrie in 1975.
Edie McClurg?
Yeah.
Oh.
To, she's one of the mean girls in Carrie. So like 8 years later, she's playing middle-aged.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she missed her whole 20s. All of a sudden, she's the bouffanted... You know what I mean? Like, she was such a character actress that she went right to...
She went straight from
playing older.
To
so you probably thought she was in her 40s in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Right, totally.
And she was really, like, mid-20s.
Well, no, she was older than that.
Why, how old is she now?
She's 64.
Yeah, well, it's 30. So, yeah, probably 34, yeah.
But still, I just... And she's from Kansas City, Missouri. I do remember that.
And such a funny lady.
Oh, funny. You're
so
fucked.
What in the world is going on with Caitlyn Jenner? We don't mean that in every sense of the word, but more so, why is Mrs. Jenner saying she's going to still be voting Republican after everything? It really makes no sense. Mm. Someone
Can't.
Needs to splash cold water on her face and tell her the reality of the situation. Someone. Cue Bette Midler.
Yay.
Bette Midler tweeted on the 19th of November, and we actually had this in headlines last week, but Marnie didn't read the story.
We totally forgot.
People, this is Bette Midler's quote, people, hashtag Caitlyn Jenner says she is still voting GOP in 2016. Regardless of gender identity, I guess she identifies most as uninformed.
Fantastic tweet.
Love Bette. She didn't put love Bette, I add that.
Oh, aren't you kind?
Uninformed, ignorant, ill, any of those should work. Bette is referring to Caitlyn's recent comments to the LA Times where she said that she could not get into the debate hall to watch the Democratic debates, but that she was able to watch it on television with students on the Drake University campus. She said that she still planned to vote Republican because they didn't convince me. Really? They didn't convince you, but the Republicans did? What was it about the Republicans that you love so much? Was the Republican stance on how homosexuality is immoral, or the fact they want to give tax breaks to the rich? This seems to be a rich versus poor thing instead of a Democrats have got my back for what I am as a person while Republicans secretly think ill of me. That's all kinds of quotes that I don't know who they're quoting. I'm sorry.
You know, we've talked about this here before, and that's that, and I don't think it's ever going to go away in Caitlyn Jenner. That's that straight white male privilege.
Yeah. Oh, uh-huh.
I don't think that mindset is ever going to go away. Like, and we just need to stop.
I'm sure there's a...
Like, not everyone, just because they're in the public eye, is a role model.
Right. Right.
And I think, like, it may be time to say, okay, like, we understand your journey was hard, your journey was public, your journey was your thing, you're living your truth or whatever the fuck you want to call it, but you are not a role model and you are not a spokesperson for all the T.
Yeah.
You know.
And
just like I'm not a spokesperson for all the L's.
And take the camera off of her now.
Right. Like, let's stop looking at Caitlyn and we'll go, absolutely, like, I have nothing but positive things in support for your journey and your struggle and whatever it is, but you are not the spokesperson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And should not be anymore.
Yeah, at all. And so there was a little bit of a backlash for like a half a minute with people saying that Bette Midler was transphobic, and she pretty much said,
no.
Shut the fuck up.
Right, right.
Get off that horse, not falling for it. We're calling
Stop
somebody
that train out. Immediately.
And so there was a couple different things that went on... that went on in the last couple weeks where people were coming back as like transphobic for what they were saying. And they're like, nope, you're allowed to criticize someone's politics and what they're doing.
Right.
Stupid is as it's, stupid
yeah.
does.
But it's Bette Midler's birthday today. She's 70.
That's fantastic.
Which means that Goldie Hawn and Diane Keaton turned 70 sometime around now too, if they haven't, because they all turned 50 while they were filming The First Wives Club.
Mm-hmm.
So their birthdays are
Riled
somehow together. And it was one of those things where they didn't know they were that close in age because it was
They'd
the
all
end
lied.
Of, it was the end of the era of no one really knowing how old anybody was before IMDb.
Mm. Diane Keaton turns 70 on January 5th of next year. And
just a month away.
Mm-hmm.
Goldie, there we go. Forgot who I was Googling for a minute.
I feel like Goldie's was like last week or something.
Goldie was just last week, November 21st. She turned 70.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So all very close together, too.
Yeah, like, and it was
not
all
even,
while
not
they were
even
filming
close
the
in
movie.
Age. It's
yeah.
all like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. that they talked about the filming of that. So, and I absolutely agree that the living your truth is now the phrase that makes me want to like throw myself off a bridge.
Is that your truth?
That's my truth. And then this story really only has any meaning to me, but David Foster, the man and his music, whatever those specials were called.
A man with music.
And I guess his wife, so those of you that watch Real Housewives, this is the only time I'll bring up that show, but his wife, Yolanda, is on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. They're getting a divorce. And the only reason it's of note was that was Donna Summer's last public performance was at the wedding. She sang at their wedding. And that video is out of her singing while David Foster and his wife are dancing. And
so how long ago was the wedding? Because I don't know. Donna's been gone, what, 2 years?
No, 3.5.
Has it really been that long?
Yeah, they were. I think it was just over 4 years. I feel like they got married in like November or December of 2011.
The David Foster that married Yolanda Foster?
Yeah.
2011.
And there is a video that someone took at the wedding of Donna singing and them dancing in the front row. But so I just thought that was divorced.
Oh.
So sad.
Divorce is horrible.
That yeah. So that's him losing, because I think that's his like third or fourth wife. So that's a lot of money going out the door, because that fucker's got his finger in every goddamn
pie. Just needs to make the switch. Just stay single. Write more music. Shut up.
There you go. And then we weren't sure of the date of this last week, so this is kind of an update. But the Adele concert live from Radio City Music Hall will be broadcast Monday, December 14th.
So that's broadcast?
Yes, we broadcast.
Yeah, it was recorded a couple weeks ago.
It was recorded at Radio City on November 17th, and it will air. It's called Adele Live in New York City, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central and Arizona Time, December
14th. 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Check local listings.
Yeah.
That fits right in. That'll be a nice like finale to the Adele Immersion program that we've all been
That's what I've now called it. That song is unescapable.
They're all everywhere. And I've seen all of the versions of all of the things. I just saw Todrick Hall doing a cover of some Adele bullshit. Everyone.
The cutie patootie, Sam Suey, that I follow on Facebook. Yeah. He did a medley, and it charted on Billboard. He posted his excitement about that. He did the entire album in 5 minutes.
It's
him singing with himself. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I love those.
But Sam Suey, again, I'd stalk him, I'd marry him. He's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely. He's so talented. But there is a video of him. It's the entire album in 5 minutes, and he sings with. He always sings with himself. The wonderful videography and the arranging that him and Kurt Schneider do, all put together, it's fantastic. But and then he does another version of Hello with another guy in a studio where they're banging drums. It's kind of interesting. But anyway,
Casey Breeze.
Yeah, Casey. Right.
Kurt Schneider.
Yeah, Kurt's on the piano. But the video of him doing the whole album in 5 minutes is interesting.
And I will just offer up my absolute favorite song on this CD that she performed on Jimmy Fallon last week. And we were at a bar called The Pub and Parade. And I had been like forcing Shane to listen to it. I'm like, this has to be the next hit off this album. It's so goddamn good.
Which one?
Is it Send My Love to Your New Lover?
No, I like that song, though.
I love that one.
It is Water Under the Bridge.
Oh.
All right.
That is just
Don't act like you don't fucking love me. Like, I understand it's over, but this didn't just not fucking happen.
Yeah. Right.
Acknowledge me. Yes.
Yeah, that
listen
song.
To the anger coming from her.
That song.
Wow, Kat.
That song just
no, like,
would you like to discuss, Kat, what's going on? Is
there
something in the
there's
past?
Actually, no. There's actually not a lot of like personal connection, but there's a lot of emotion in the album. And like I listen to a lot of music. You know, you work in the bars and you spend time in a car. Like, there's a lot of music around me all the time. And not all of it feels real.
Oh, no, you're right.
It all feels,
it's made just to sell.
It feels produced and it sells. And teenagers like link it to whatever their love life is right now. And that's totally fine. And that happens. And there's sentimental songs that remind me of different times of my life. And I'm
sure.
Like, I'm very connected to music and I'm around it all the time. But very rarely does music come that actually just like elicits an emotional response on its own. Like, not connected to a thing, not because I'm in a sad place and listening to sad music. like all by itself, having a perfectly lovely day. I talked about this last week, like having a perfectly wonderful day, said, I'm going to download the Adele album. The second song comes up and I'm literally sitting in a Starbucks with like tears running down my face because of the song, not because anything's
Nothing's wrong.
Like,
right.
I'm not recently heartbroken, like curled up in the fetal position
and
on my couch.
And you're absolutely not a drama queen. Right. Absolutely
not. And I'm not that dramatic. So I'm very impressed with the Adele CD in the way that it is just like connecting in an emotional way to so many people. Like, I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
All on its own.
Another good song by Melissa Etheridge. I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
I just was putting in a lesbian thing for you. Never mind. Sorry.
That water.
I think Melissa is the only one in that song.
Though. Yeah,
and I'm the only one who walks across the fire for you. Yeah. Don't motherfuck with Melissa Etheridge.
And
I know
somebody
it.
Needed to bring her water at some point. I remember that.
Bet she's gonna come
she's
to your window.
In her fucking window. Yeah. That bitch is creepy.
Yeah, she creeper. But Water Under the Bridge is the one that just
that's a really good one. Yeah,
snatched me up, and I must have listened to that like 40 times in a row. Like. I was like, yeah, and it's available. It's available on the iPad without being connected to the internet.
You know, oh, yeah, mine's all short, downloaded.
You have that short list of songs that...
Saved to device.
This motherfucker is on its last legs. Like, mm-hmm. This thing's going to crawl to the grave.
Well, go shop. Go buy a new one.
It's, yeah, well, it's called Tax Refund.
And they're all...
Not a girl.
They're not cheap, my God. I would love to have a new iPad for myself and mom, but they are not cheap.
No, but this one's done its time.
These two. In fact, I'm having issues now with this one recording audio, oddly. Just it's crashing on its own now.
Son of a bitch.
So the very last thing is it's World AIDS Day, so whatever somebody wants to contribute or a story, or if we'd like to save that for Thoughtful Vulgarity.
I don't have one at this moment. I do, but we can save it for a little bit later.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Sure.
But always good. A Day Without Art is how that they, when they first, I think it was like 80, somewhere between 88 and 90. Was when I remember it first happening.
Well, let's do.
And
some
you were
facts.
Supposed to do like the Shiva thing. You were supposed to cover up the art in your home.
Oh,
and
I had any good art in my house, yeah. I would do that.
But it was supposed to be a day, and galleries were supposed to close. Like it was supposed to be.
Do shows go dark on these days?
No, everyone. The Day Without Art part never comes out. You don't hear that part anymore. That,
oh, okay.
That was like parenthetically a day without art to Got celebrate it. The loss of artists.
World AIDS Day was first conceived in 1987 by James Bunn and Tom Netter, two public information officers for the Global Program on AIDS at the World Health Organization in Geneva, Switzerland. They took their idea to the director of global programming. Director liked it, approved it, agreed with the recommendation. The first observance of World AIDS Day should be and was on December 1st, 1988.
Oh, that's pretty close.
Yeah. In its first 2 years, the theme of World AIDS Day focused on children and young people. While the choice of this theme was criticized at the time by some for ignoring the fact that people of all ages may become infected, the theme helped alleviate some of the stigma surrounding the disease and boost recognition of the problem as a family disease.
Oh, and here we go. An International Day of Action and Mourning in response to the AIDS crisis in 1989 in response to the... Wait for it. In response to the worsening AIDS crisis and coinciding with the World Health Organization's second annual World AIDS Day on December 1st, Visual AIDS organized the first Day Without Art. A visual AIDS committee of art workers, curators, writers, and art professionals sent out a call for mourning and action in response to the AIDS crisis that would celebrate the lives and achievements of lost colleagues and friends, encourage caring for all people with AIDS, educating diverse publics about HIV infection, and finding a cure. More than 800 arts organizations, museums, and galleries throughout the U.S. participated by shrouding artwork and replacing them with information about HIV and safer sex, locking their doors or dimming their lights, and producing exhibitions, programs, readings, memorials, rituals, and performances. Visual AIDS coordinated this network mega event by producing a poster and handling promotion and press relations. There was a night without light, the dimming of the New York skylight, the electrical blanket, a nationwide outdoor slide projection with text and images, positive actions, the Broadside Project, distribution of copyright-free text and images by well-known artists targeted to specific audience. Artists, many of the most moving actions, including Robert Farber's Every 10 Minutes, by the end of the mid-90s, Day Without Art attracted more than 8,000 participants throughout the world. So it was just one of those things that, to me, that's and I, you know, it just stopped being that at some point. But it's, I always think of it as the Day Without Art, and that big symbol of like covering up anything pretty and making it about thinking about
the
artists
statement.
That were lost, and what, you know, what the loss of that, the art, so many artists and performers and things, such a sad.
Yeah, like Jenny says on in the chat room, very sad early days, and that is very, very true. Very sad early days because people didn't know what the hell was going on and how to, in some cases, how to prevent it, and didn't understand how they could keep from getting it. And ugly time in the early 80s.
Yeah, and then information wasn't spread right, and people fought the information when they heard it.
And now,
it.
Unfortunately, it's because so much progress has been made, the younger generation doesn't, they're not getting it yet. Like, there's a resurgence. Because they're just thinking, oh, I can just, well, we talked about it, I can take a pill, I can be fine.
Oh, and, you know, go through that, and we'll come back with a little follow-up I heard on that.
Okay, cool. Coming back in just a second, drinking word is still in play. Tiger Sauce is what we're doing. We got Thoughtful Vulgarity and Kat Carlson coming up right after this.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Hi again, everybody. A little after 9 o'clock here in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for joining us. Everybody, the chat room is full. Aaron from L.A. Jenny is in there. Anant. Joe D. is also in there. My mom somewhere was there. Not to mention Harrison. Harrison is in there. Or was. Maybe she's bowed out. I don't know.
We saw Harrison. Got a lot going on.
Oh, did I? I don't know that I saw Meow.
Early on.
Oh. Well, there's a lot going on.
I don't think Cal said anything in a while. Oh. Perhaps fell asleep.
Well, no, you know, when it updates, it goes back to a couple of weeks ago on my board, and Meow Cal and Bag of Nope are on there.
No, I'm looking at, like, live users.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's weird. Back. I go back to that conversation. I keep thinking.
Interesting.
For those of you wondering,
but now you've seen it so many weeks in a row that I know it's an old conversation.
If you're oddly just joining us, I can't imagine why you haven't been here for the other 2 hours of wasting your time.
What have you been doing?
Drinking word is Tiger Sauce, which is a story that Al was telling earlier from New Orleans. Also, Marnie Ryer is not with us tonight, feeling under the weather, and I would have assumed that she would have joined us in the chat room. But
she's been texting me.
Oh, she's been texting you. Got it. So she's at home because she didn't want to come and give us whatever the hell she's got.
Thank you, Marnie.
And Marnie did ask if, and she reminded us of Holland Taylor being on Bosom Buddies.
Mm. Oh yeah, very good. Wow,
a woman that's been a working actress for a long fucking time.
All I can think about with Bosom Buddies is really showing the two different trajectories of careers when Tom Hanks goes one way and does all that he does, and Peter Scolari. I still don't know really what he's done other than Newhart.
Yeah.
When he did that in the 80s. Remember Newhart?
Yeah, yeah. I loved him on it.
I did too. But Peter Scolari, what else has he done? Don't know.
He shows up in one or two, a Tom Hanks movie every once in a while.
Oh, does he? Tom's throwing him a bone.
Throweth, yeah.
There he goes. We were in the middle of a conversation. Al was talking to us about, we were talking about Day Without Art, which is today, the 1st of December, National AIDS Day. And you were talking in regards to the Truvada, update on the story.
Yeah, the Truvada, because... Sanjay Gupta did a report on it, and actually had a young gay man from New York City with a good job, a master's degree, a loving family, wants to date, is concerned, and started on the prep,
okay,
to go on the Truvada. And there's been some controversial conversations between me and some friends about it, and some people are treating it like as another line of defense as well as condoms. Some people are using it as the pill you take to have unsafe sex.
That then drug. There's, got it.
Then there's all the concern about, well, you know, you're still not protecting. Just like the pill doesn't protect you against HIV, it protects you against pregnancy. Like all the other things that you can get, and especially in the gay men's swimming pool of diseases, like that chlamydia, gonorrhea thing that's just running rampant. Like, you know what I mean? You're... worried about one thing, but the other two are coming through in record numbers. And then there's some stomach disease that's just filthy to think about.
Mm-hmm. No.
And then Dan says someone wished him a happy World AIDS Day.
Yeah.
So this this Truvada, and I think that's the name of the drug. I may be making that up, but I think that's what it is. It's been around since 2012, and it really didn't get a lot of play, or it wasn't talked about a lot. And then they brought it up on How to Get Away with Murder. And they said the people on the drugs since September has just skyrocketed. Like the interest in the drug, but it's $18,000 a year.
Wow.
The pharmaceutical company is helping with costs, but it's $18,000 a year, and it's a pill a day forever. So,
wow. You know,
fate, it's a my dear, fixed dose
combination of two antiretroviral drugs used for the treatment of HIV. What else do I know about it?
And it's one of those ones that's like you take it after you're diagnosed, or they're using it in a preventative way, which is
right. It has been approved by the FDA for preventative.
But still, even with that, what I see. That's not the right phrase, but I just get from conversations with the younger generation, like, because I'm around them, like, with regards, because I've DJed the show, or I'm just around them by being, just the mindset is so different. Like, if you talk to people of our age, that conversation is so one-sided,
yeah.
And with them, it's a little more, it's open and free, and like, we have no cares. I'm like, yeah, you do. You got just as many as we do.
Yeah.
Like, the care load is not different. The concern load is not different.
But you know what? That's universal, and that's always going to happen. The 20-somethings are always going to be invincible. Like, that's just part of life.
And that you're is part of it. It's the same thing of, like, you know, diabetes is out there, but you're still leading a sedentary lifestyle.
Drinking Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You don't get even a glimpse of your own mortality until sometime after 30.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, fuck. I've done 30 years worth of fucking this shit up.
Right.
And now I'm going to die if I don't fix it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what the question becomes is in that cycle, where do you want to, you know, again, with the fertilized egg or not, where in that cycle do you want to come through? Like, there's a level of protection. Like, are you worried about pregnancy? If it's from the woman's point of view,
right.
Is it pregnancy you're worried about? Is it diseases you're worried about? What part of that circle of life are you worried about?
Right.
Would you put a link in the chat room for Jenny? She's asking, is this a preventative and after an HIV infection? She's asking, just if you've got the information, Kat.
I've got some Wikipedia action happening.
She could throw that up there for you.
Yeah, and Jenny, yes, the thing that Sanjay Gupta was saying was because of the numbers, just like the infection rates in gay men is now up to like four times what it is in heterosexuals, again, where it had been less. The infection rate was actually lower for a big period of time amongst homosexual men than it was in the general population, and now it's like I think gay men are back to being like four times as likely to contract it.
Gotcha.
So it's there. That's so World AIDS Day, yay, tiger sauce. So very strange. So that's it for entertainment and World AIDS Day.
Now, Kat, did you have more that you wanted to do, or you got nothing?
Yeah, no. Maybe we can tack on to entertainment a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. So I spend a fair amount. I'm pretty sure we've established it. I spend a fair amount of time online.
Mm-hmm.
It's scrolling through my Facebooks with my thumb, you know, mm-hmm. scroll.
Pinteresting what needs to be Pinterested.
Exactly. Like Pinteresting things and forwarding things and saving things. And sometimes going, maybe I didn't need to see that at 6 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I think
that
about
one
that.
Right there was Amy Schumer.
Oh.
Yeah. First thing one morning. So if you don't know, Amy Schumer is fairly shameless and fairly unashamed of a lot of things, like her behavior, her looks, her, you know, her dating philosophies and her sex life, and as it turns out, her body. She has decided to pose topless, in fact, nearly nude, in a photo shoot for the 2016 Pirelli calendar. Shows her clad only in lacy underwear and high heels, holding a coffee cup.
also part of our photo shoot a couple weeks ago. No, I'm kidding. Totally kidding.
Oh. I mean, if you went back in after I left and stripped down to your lacy skivvies and held a coffee cup for Kevin
I will say nay.
I mean, that's your business, but maybe don't post it on my Facebook in the morning.
Not doing
maybe
it.
Maybe there's a different type of day, time of day you would like to.
Turns out this photo shoot is kind of a big deal. Shot by famed photographer, none other than Annie Leibovitz. The photo portrays the topless comedian sitting on a stool, her breast covered by her arm as she holds a cup of coffee. Her stomach rolls on display for all to see. Talk about brave. And I think it's a really, like, maybe I didn't want to see naked Amy Schumer ever, but.
Very, what's the phrase? Rubenesque.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Botticelli's Angels.
Right. And I say, like, good for her. Like, I understand the statement, and I understand. And I think it's a really great statement for her to make, and what a great person to make it.
Oh, I do too. And it is, like, this is her body, like.
Right.
We don't need to Photoshop everybody down to nothing. And she always looked like she dresses, I think, very well when she's...
Oh, sure.
Some, you know, you can tell she has some days where maybe you're like, let's cover up a little bit more in danger. You know, we all have that where we're like, all right, the t-shirt can be cut a little bit different. You know, the cut of the jib can be a little bit different today. Or today we let it out for turkey and pie. Oh.
I'm going to cut my jib.
Yeah.
But if you haven't seen it, feel free to look and look for the calendar. Now, I just saw in a couple of Google searches the Serena Williams aspect. Is she doing the same? Do you have that? I heard
yes. Her picture is here. It's
a fierce
similar.
Photo of a topless. Oh, that is fierce. Look at her.
Yeah.
Damn, girl. See, that would have been okay in the morning.
Yeah. More of a warrior pose.
That's a very, very powerful. So I'm interested. Now I'm interested in the calendar.
Well, I'm always curious. Like, do they have long hair? I never know with those, with Serena and Venus. Like,
oh, is that their real hair?
Yeah.
Is what you're asking?
Or if not, are they tracks put in?
I mean, everybody has a little help with volume on their hair now. Like, everybody's wearing.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
Everybody's wearing a little phony pony somewhere. But,
oh.
Everybody's got a little in there. Look at this. I just went to the website.
Sometimes you can't tell because people do other things with their hair now. So I just want to, like, take out what's there and show
right.
me, like, what does
extensions,
your hair
that's
look
the word
like?
I was
extensions,
for.
There you go.
Yeah, me too. And I came up with phony pony.
But that's just fun.
Yeah.
Tiger sauce.
She got a little tiger sauce going on
up
the back.
Up in there. Yes, wow. Indeed.
This looks like it's going to be quite the calendar, though. Like, I went to the calendar website, and there's a little video that kind of flashes by. And there was Yoko Ono was on here.
I do not need to see her naked.
Well, no, I don't want to see her naked either. But still, like, iconic people.
Yeah. I'd rather look at Yoko Ono naked than hear her sing. There's the deal I'll make.
Oh, that's fair. I don't know about that.
Right. Take your clothes off and parade around. Just please don't tiger sauce me with your voice.
Oh, wow. That's a tough one for me, really. Yeah. Is it naked Yoko?
Has she waxed recently?
Not since John died. It's a jungle.
I gotta know how deep the bushes I'm going into.
All right, here's who we got. We got Yao Chen,
down. We got a fur.
Social media icon from China. We've got it's not gonna tell me all the people. God, I hate this website already.
Oh my god. There's hate in the show.
There's hate in this show. Somebody loved Flash entirely too much when developing this. Okay, I don't know. I can't tell you all the people. There we go. Serena Williams. Who else? Nobody. I got nothing. Okay, we'll have to look it up later. Amy Schumer. That's all I got.
Yeah, I can only find those two names.
Yeah, and I found Yoko.
And I didn't want to see that, so...
It's not
I didn't find a picture. I
tiger sauced my memory on that one.
But all right. I'm in.
I think I'd rather drink tiger sauce.
You want some tiger sauce?
I'd rather drink it than see Yoko Ono naked.
Oh, my God. Well, we don't know what tiger sauce tastes like. I feel like that's not a very good...
It's sweet and soury with, like, a chili paste kind of Asian-y flavor.
It feels like it might be delicious.
It truly
like,
was.
That's like saying I would rather eat chocolate cake than see Yoko Ono naked. Of course. Where's the sacrifice in that?
Yeah, that one was not a tough call. The sauce made of actual tigers, we'll think it over.
A sauce of actual tigers. Yeah. That's kind of a lot.
Which, just like the tiger sauce.
All right. What else segues in nicely here? You know what? We talked about Adele for a minute, and I found her thoughts on streaming media.
Oh, yeah, because we talked about that last week.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit last week because I stream all the things and I subscribe to all the things so that I can have...
We're streaming now.
We are streaming
crazy!
Now. For free.
Tiger sauce not included.
Tiger sauce sold separately.
Sold separately, yes.
But like anybody that tried to stream Adele's new album already knows, Adele isn't Spotify's biggest fan. And her famous, not famous, but the big quote from Rolling Stone is, she says, "It probably is the future, but eh.
Eh.
Eh."
Good for her.
Right? Good on her. She says, there are kids I know who are like 9 who don't even know what a fucking CD is. I've got my CDs out on display in my house just to prove a point. Maybe CDs will have a massive comeback just like vinyl did. Actually, I think cassettes just to be a pain in the ass. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
I've got all my Destiny's Child cassettes.
Well, good for her.
Ah. Yeah. And you know what? She's going to make the money for it, and then she's going to go to streaming anyway.
Yeah, when she's going to, yeah.
And I'm 100% on board with that. You know what I mean? Like, get your album out there, get your sales bump, and then go ahead and accept, like, I don't know what artists get from streaming.
But yeah.
There's got to be a point. There has to be kind of a happy medium.
And she'll get a little bit more because she writes her own songs.
Sure.
We hope by this point she's got her own publishing company. She hasn't sold that off. Hopefully
right.
She's got a good enough lawyer to get her a publishing company. But that, I mean, and that is, that's mine too. Like, buy a fucking CD. Like,
sure.
But now that, I mean, like, this doesn't have a CD. Nothing has a CD.
Right, the physical, well, I didn't buy a physical disc. I bought the Adele CD,
yeah.
And I didn't buy a physical disc. I went on Amazon Music, and I bought the thing. And I don't have the 3 extra tracks. I don't know what they are.
I have them.
Do you?
I have them.
I'm in the dark, because my friend...
You won't be after this.
All right, good. Yeah, because a friend of mine was like, oh, I've got the Target CD. And I'm like, bitch, here's what you need to do. You need to go home. You need to, like, put that up on a Dropbox so that I can borrow it from you.
Yeah.
And then she looked at me and was like, I don't know how to do that. I was like, oh, what is wrong with you?
And she doesn't know how to do it because she still uses CDs.
You know what you need?
Right.
Better friends.
Yeah.
You need better.
You know what? I do. That's right. I'm going to trade that bitch in. Or somebody
Aaron,
that knows how
Aaron,
to use
everybody
stuff.
Said that about vinyl, too, and vinyl's back.
I listened, speaking of vinyl, not to interrupt your story, because
no,
we're not at that segment
of
the show.
I feel like that story's about over anyway.
With all of the hype going on the remake, well, actually, no, yeah, it's the remake, the live broadcast of The Wiz that's coming up here on the 3rd.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the making, because I'm always fascinated of how they make something. Like, if they're remaking it, I want to know what research was done and what they did in the staging. And I'm fascinated by that continually, how they pull something off, because... It's all, yes, they have a huge soundstage, but still, like, if you've never been, like, in a news studio before, you don't realize that the entire production is done in a room this size, and they're all sitting right next to each other, but on TV it looks different. You don't realize it. So anyway, watching it was all very interesting, and then I was hearing their take on the songs. Like, they remade a Slide Some Oil to Me, which Nipsey Russell did as the Tin Man in the movie, and Home, that Diana Ross sang in the movie, so on. So what did I do? I dug out my double album vinyl and played it the other day, because I still have a turntable in the living room.
Look at you.
And it was just so much fun just to, mm-hmm. you know, it played through, and then all of a sudden I'm like, well, where's the next track? Gotta lift that needle and flip the record over. Totally forget about that. But it was just kind of fun to listen to the pop and the crack in the vinyl that's from yesteryear and remember... I remember because one of the songs actually skips, and it skips in the exact same spot that it did when I was 15 years old.
And it's always gonna.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my album of a chorus line had a skip in it, in either I Can Do That or Dance 10 Looks 3, and I would sing the skip because I only knew it with a skip in it.
Oh, sure.
Oh, right.
Even though we all knew the trick to put the penny on,
right?
So it would weigh it down,
weight it down, and everything. Well, and Aaron in the chat room is trying to say. And I disagree with you, Aaron, that people have a connection to vinyl and there's not an emotional connection to CDs. Talk to somebody that was a teenager in the 90s. There's a big emotional connection to CDs.
I would agree, because you still read the liner notes.
Because, like, well, yeah, there were still liner notes, and you had to go to, I can't remember the name of the, like, Sam Goody or whatever, and you had to buy the towers of CDs. Like, we had towers.
Yeah.
And towers of CDs. And then we had books and books of them, because we ran out of room for the towers. So then we had all those books that had the sleeves and everything. Like, there's absolutely emotional connection to whatever music impacted you in that like really influential time in your life.
And I still want to know who produced it,
right?
Who wrote this track? What are they sampling from?
Who's
singing backup vocals?
When I bought the CD version at the Target version of Adele's album, uh-huh. because that's where the three tracks are,
right?
Anywho, I did. I read the liner notes as we were writing. You know, I pulled it out, and they're much. They're really, really small on a CD case.
Yeah, they're really small.
But anywho, I was reading it, and one of the tracks, and it may be more than one, Mark Ronson produced it. And if you don't realize who Mark Ronson is, he's the one who did the huge hit from this year of Uptown Funk with Bruno Mars.
And he did Valerie with Amy Winehouse. He did
the
remix, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so he's part of the Adele album, too. Another reason to enjoy it.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. So minty,
there's so minty reasons. Ways. Yes. Yes.
Oh, just proof. Speak of the devil, and she will show.
Bag of nope.
Hi, nope.
Hi, nope. Asshole.
Yeah, sure. Aaron, I
still... Oh, no, she's...
Yeah,
she's
Aaron, I'll let you rant on for a while, but I still do. And we're sitting in a house that has towers and towers of all the things.
I'm pretty sure I saw a box of 8-tracks as I walked in today.
Well, Al walked into my house this evening and asked, what the hell's up with all the VHS tapes on my dining room table? I had to clean out something, so just shut up. We're going to put them in another tower. There's another tower, actually, in my house that they're going to go in.
Yeah.
Towers of books, towers of music.
What needs to happen
is... The thing that I never liked was because I never liked cassettes. I was never on board. Because there was no precision to that fast-forwarding.
Right.
And yeah. The seek feature was never quite right for me.
Yeah, and they never did really perfect that.
No, I jumped from vinyl to right to CD. I always had, but I liked mixtapes, so my connection to
mixtapes.
To cassettes was mixtapes.
I still really
and I
mixtapes.
Still when I finally like tossed the mixtapes because I did they didn't make cars with cassette players anymore. That was a sad ceremony to get rid of all the mixtapes.
No cars.
But a lot of the combinations, because you know you always wanted to hear that song after the song. You know what I mean? Like
right,
you had
yeah.
the mixtape, how the songs
oh, and
should
some
go
of those
in that order.
Stick with you. Like some of those, like you just automatically hear that next song.
Yeah. The most random one is When in Love with a Blind Man by Tears for Fears,
mm-hmm.
going into Mesopotamia by the B-52s. I can't hear one without the other. They just go together
Very
to me.
Nice.
So on my playlists, they're always right
they're
after
always
dinner.
Next to
and I
other.
Have to take the shuffle off because When in Love with a Blind Man has to go right into Mesopotamia.
Right, has to lead right into it.
All right, so what is this shit on your segment?
Stuff? Oh, I don't know. Let's see what's next.
I didn't know if you wanted an intro just to
no,
talk
I don't
over.
Give a crap.
Ah, fuck it. All right. Well,
I don't give
then
a
you
crap.
Don't get it.
Well, then I'm not gonna. Good.
There
yeah.
you go.
Good.
Talked about someone who had way too much stuff in their home, so respectfully take your comment with a grain of salt. Yeah, but it wasn't CDs or vinyl. Because I have nothing in my house but CDs and
an entertainment center and a couch.
Couch.
That he becomes one with.
I
often.
Get rid of tchotchkes.
Oh yeah, Al wasn't part of that.
If he has to dust it, not keep it.
If it has to be dusted.
It was either Clayton or Jason that
the
was
only
part
two,
of that.
The only three tchotchkes
sure
I had were stolen by burglars. So
I don't know.
No, they can clean it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, friends. Well, congratulations are in order. Mark Zuckerberg had a baby girl.
Oh, I know. It's a wonderful story. After his very personal stories about. Trouble conceiving,
and everything. Yep. Baby girl Max Zuckerberg is alive and well. And to celebrate and commemorate the event, Mark Zuckerberg's going to give away Facebook. That's right. He says in a very like long, but very sweet letter to his newborn child, Mark and his wife, Dr. Priscilla Chan, want to embark on a new initiative to advance human potential and promote equality for all children in the next generation. So they're going to embark on... I mean, they have more money than God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually think God has money. I don't...
Because of the way the Pope lives.
This fictitious person...
And the way that they say it in Steel Magnolias.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only reason that even ever comes up. Because they're only nice to me because I have more money than God.
Oh my God, I was doing... lines from Steel Magnolias
That's
everywhere.
Always a good time.
And at one point we decided to like take a side road mm-hmm. around, and we were like halfway down this road and saw this sign for this farm, and there was like no one on the road but us. I'm like, you know how when you're watching a horror movie and the two assholes get off the freeway and go down the country road towards an old farm? I'm like, we're those assholes.
Oh no,
like we're literally doing it. We're in the bayou, we're on a side street driving across country looking at the maps on our phones, like that's gonna live forever. And I'm like, we're those people. And we passed the little thing for the farm that we were both talking about being the horror movie. And I was saying, Shane goes, is it okay if we make a left and get back on the freeway for a little while to the restaurant? And I'm like, yeah. After all, as the sun is setting and all this conversation about serial killers and everything else.
Oh my God, yeah, get back on the freeway.
Let's not be those people.
Oh my goodness. How did we get there?
Huh? Because Magnolia is more money than God. And I was doing
all of a sudden you were dying to see. Oh,
but okay. I was doing the scene where she's driving to go get the baby from the aunt that makes the cakes. Makes the armadillo cake when they show her, because that's what the road looked like we were driving down.
Oh, when she's driving to go see
to go get
I don't have the counter space.
What's the baby's name?
Jack Jr.
When she goes to get Jack Jr. and she runs down the.
What's the aunt's name?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh my God! Somebody in the chat room, help me. What's the aunt's name? I don't know.
But the actress was on Three's Company.
Oh, good to know. I still don't remember the aunt's name. Son of a bitch. It's not Maxine. No.
They're talking about Zuckerberg's baby.
Oh, okay.
They're actually following what we're doing. We're off on a tangent. They're following your
story.
We're not.
They're still listening to the story that we're not talking about anymore. Fair enough. Where was I? The billionaire, Facebook founder, and chief executive, and his physician wife pledged to give away 99% of their Facebook shares in their lifetime. Now, there's some fine print there. They're not giving it away tomorrow, and they're not giving it to you.
Yeah. Fucking fuck.
So when you see the share and like, and Mark Zuckerberg will give you all of his Facebook shares thing, do not share and do not like.
Right.
At
all. Calm down. There's no tiger.
Settle down. They're going to give away 99% of their Facebook shares in their lifetime. Their shares are currently worth $45 billion.
Jesus.
With a B. They made the announcement in a letter to their newborn daughter, Max, and posted it on Facebook on Tuesday, today, the national day known as #GivingTuesday. Max was born not today, but, quote, early the week of Thanksgiving, according to Facebook. Our initial area of focus will be personalized learning, curing disease, connecting people, and building strong communities, Zuckerberg and Chan wrote to their daughter. We know that this is a small contribution compared to all the resources and talents of those already working on these issues, but we want to do what we can working alongside others. I think this is a good thing. I think this is even better than the $500,000 to Salvation Army.
Right.
Because I feel like it's for the right reasons. Like I read the letter to the daughter too, and it's very sweet in a holy fuck, now there's something bigger than me happening and I need to do something bigger than me, and what the fuck am I gonna do with all this money? Let's do some good with it. You know. So I'm completely on board. So they're gonna
Bill Gates, like, who's giving
right? Yeah, the Gates stuff. Foundation is huge. Absolutely, like the Zuckerberg Foundation or whatever they're gonna do, like, ought to be and could be so huge, and is like a fine example of how to be a decent human when you have more money than God.
Right, and then and the way you give it away, like, wasn't it Bill Gates that was giving away like $100 million over like so many years?
I forwarded that email. I never got a penny, by the way.
Yeah, but the way they did it is they give away so much it's tax deductible. The 90 million left in the fund is earning interest, so they can give away that much money a year and still not take any hit to their income.
The principal, right?
Sure,
right.
And I mean, that's fine. Like, you got your money, you earned your money. Keep your money, but absolutely give back and be part of a solution of some kind.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and where did I put the letter? Because I feel like there was something that I wanted to read off of that. What it was. Yeah, it starts out, your mother and I don't yet have the words to describe the hope you give us for the future. Your new life is full of promise, and we hope you will be happy and healthy so you can explore it fully. You've already given us a reason to reflect on the world we hope you live in. Like all parents, we want you to grow up in a world better than ours today.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go on to list like all of the different ways that they can do and how they can help people. And then there's a very specific list on, can our generation eliminate poverty and hunger? Can we provide everyone with basic health care? Can we build inclusive and welcoming communities? Can we nurture peaceful and understanding relationships between people of all nations? Like, they're just going to...
Is the dislike button anywhere in that list of things he's going to give to the public?
You know what? I didn't see it.
Damn it. I want that dislike button.
Yeah, I could go through another read. I won't.
I don't. Yeah. No, it's all right.
It's long. Like, I'm still scrolling.
I'll read it on my own time.
It's super lengthy, so please read it on your own time. But the the letter summarizes a lot of things that they want to, you know, have a hand in improving in the world in general. And it just ends with, Max, we love you and feel a great responsibility to leave the world a better place for you and all children. We wish you a life filled with the same love, hope, and joy you give us. We can't wait to see what you bring to the world. Love, Mom and Dad.
You just start to like him a little bit more.
Yeah, you just do. Just a little bit.
Just a little
bit. Just a little bit.
So that's happening. So look forward to, hopefully, wonderful. Aunt Fern, thank you, Bag of Nope.
Aunt Fern.
I put it earlier down there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see it.
I just saw her comment of it, if only I had been nice.
Because I
listen.
I couldn't remember. I know it's like Chickapin Parish or Chickapaw Parish.
I love Chickapin Parish.
Right.
Is it Chickapin? I don't know.
I can't even spell it, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But then it's filmed in... oh, Jesus.
Wow.
It's
well, that's gone.
That I don't know.
I had it right here all queued
you
up.
You had it, and then...
Do we know who...
Nope.
We don't... And your list, I'm sorry, is still not in here. Listening from Japan. Do we know who that is?
No. Oh, so it's Natchitoches. I think it's pronounced Natchitoches. Is the town that they filmed it in Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
It's because it's also where they filmed The Man in the Moon with Reese Witherspoon's first movie, where she's the it's one of the most get that see it love
yeah.
it. It's where Reese Witherspoon comes from. Huh. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous coming of age movie about two sisters that fall in love with the farm boy next door, and it's just gorgeous, gorgeous
Very
movie.
Very nice. Write that down. Huh.
The Man in the Moon.
The Man in
I almost texted you this week for whatever I told you to write down last week that I was supposed to watch because I was searching for television today. I was like, oh, what did Clayton write down for me?
I'd have to dig through a series of papers to find that for you.
You know what? I know that you would, though.
Sure.
Moving right along. Twitter turns Pope Francis into a rapper.
Oh! This has been funny
Isn't this
all
cute?
Day today.
I can't wait to like go through and just like tail to snout, like... read all of the tweets,
Tail
but here's the summary.
To snout.
Well, I sit across from this asshole all the time. A photo of Pope Francis has gone viral on social media after he was captured in a classic rapper pose during a visit to the Central African Republic. The now famous photo was taken during a speech in the capital and has been tweeted more than 100,000 times. Tweeters have been making thousands of imagery rap lyrics known as bars under the hashtag Pope Bars.
Pope Bars.
Pope Bars. So they're calling rap lyrics bars. Hashtag Pope Bars. The visit was Pope Francis's first to the continent, and he spent 6 days in the three countries where he was greeted by thousands of faithful. In a speech, he also addressed Muslim worshippers in a mosque where he said that Christians and Muslims are brothers and sisters. The country has experienced... After nearly 3 years, that's not even a full sentence.
That's how the one story I read was like, oh no.
Wait, no, this isn't a sentence. So anyway.
Was this story put together by a rapper? Is that...
Maybe. But now you can please go on Twitter and probably Instagram, look up the hashtag Pope Bars, and you're going to see hilarious things like Pope Francis like holding a mic up with one hand, and his other hand is just kind of like getting ready to like put the smack down. You know, I think there's nothing funnier than white women rapping, so me talking about this story is amusing me to no end. But yeah, you've got the picture of Pope Francis, and the caption says something like, when I drop rhymes, other rappers better pray. Gonna cross these dudes out like it's Ash Wednesday. Hashtag Pope Bars. From Genesis to Revelation, my God be spitting fire. I don't smoke weed because scripture gets me higher. Hashtag Pope Bars.
Oh my God, the one that... Oh, do you have the one from... what's his face that wrote Hamilton?
Don't think so, no.
Whose name escapes me? The lady on the... on W... What is it? K-T-A-R? K-T-A-R. She was reading them today, and it was killing me because she wasn't even attempting to make them rap, and it was just...
Coldest rapper to ever call Rome my home. Rhyme so real, Moses could set him in stone. I stamp my bars with a papal seal. Jesus walks, but I ride in my Pope mobile. There's the mic drop.
That's a good one. Because it's like Vatican Shisizi with Manuel Lin something.
Right. Yes.
It was all a dream. I used to read John 3:16, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all up in my limousine.
Miranda is the last word.
Oh, yeah, Manuel and Lin Miranda.
I just Googled because you told me to look. I looked up images. Mm-hmm. A nun in a wheelchair, call that Virgin Mobile.
That's good.
Oh.
That is really good.
Wait, let me close this ad. I think I've got the one you were looking for. Lyrical Cataclysm, Miracle Catechism. Smack them with that epistle, then back to the Vatikizzle.
Vatikizzle.
I love that one. The Vatikizzle.
Oh.
If you're a sinner, we're all in the same. All this ice on my chain, but it's in God's name. Oh, for crying out loud.
Well, you almost made that a prayer.
Almost.
Oh, my God. This one's an Eminem parody. My psalms are sweaty, pages wet, arms are ready, the spirit in my body already, Lord Spaghetti.
That's involved.
That's good. I love the internet. I can't even describe to you.
Well, you spend a lot of time on it. According to you. Self-stated.
According to people that spend time with me, too. No, it's a thing.
It's a real thing.
You know what else the internet is good for? Digging up old ridiculous shit.
Oh.
Oh.
Yep.
No. Like?
Like. Well, we'll start here. With 19 of the greatest Cosmo sex tips ever published. Mm.
Oh. Stick your finger it there.
I'm gonna go
super close. Number one is the fork.
I gotta get a new sheet of paper.
Write these down.
And it reads: press a fork, parenthetically, firmly, but don't break the skin or anything. End parentheses into different parts of his body: his butt cheeks, his pecs, his thighs. Oh. Fork him. See if he's done.
Fork him.
tell the snout.
as if you're testing a steak. Number two, the sneak pepper attack.
The sneak pepper attack.
Yep.
Hi, my name's Pepper.
Yeah.
I'm going to sneak up on you.
The tip reads, sprinkle a little pepper under his nose right before he climaxes. Sneezing can feel similar to an orgasm and amplify the feel-good effects.
Wait, start over. What?
Apparently tiger sauce is involved in this.
Oh, tiger sauce.
Oh, tiger sauce.
This was published at one time or another in Cosmo.
Yeah, let's review.
Sprinkle a little pepper under his nose right before he climaxes.
Okay, I'm back. Okay, that's what I was.
Sneezing can feel similar to an orgasm and amplify the feel-good effects.
Well, do the feather and tickle.
Because apparently men love nothing better than having pepper thrown in their faces.
Just as they're about to come. Just about to poltergeist their way through that tunnel.
Oh.
Number three says, lie across an ottoman and tell him, quote, Professor Wankerton, I've been bad and I need a spanking. Professor Wankerton?
Nuh-uh.
Settle down.
Yeah. I think the feminist movement
I don't even have a...
The feminist movement just got crawling back into a cave.
Gloria Steinem have anything to do with any of this?
No.
You know what?
Susan B. Anthony just turned her coin over. I can't watch this shit.
That's not even a metaphor. Yeah.
She just closed up her coin purse and went home.
I don't make these tips. I just read them off the internet.
Oh, gosh.
Number four, the ouch. Ow, what the hell was that?
That's the finger up the butt.
No. This one...
Oh, but wait, there's more.
This one is a reader-submitted experience. It says, my girl would use marbles to tease me in bed. She'd casually scatter them over the bed sheet, and then as we get it on, I could feel the cool marbles press against my hot skin. Quote, it's a wicked sensation. Greg, 21, from Minnesota.
They made a joke about the finger in... in Fargo a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, well, this show is grown up.
Number five, the sex dreidel. Now let that
made
sink
of
clay. In a minute.
Made it out of clay? With you, I'll always play?
That's all.
That's all it says?
The sex dreidel. Like, just, no. Number six, the Wimbledon final. It says...
Involves two black girls in a net? I don't understand that.
No, close. It says, hold his penis in one hand and lightly slap it with the other. You can tap it back and forth like you're volleying a tennis ball and lightly pinch the skin. Many women make the mistake of being too gentle. Like you're volleying a tennis... I don't know. Is this a thing? Do you volley like
hot
a tennis
potato,
ball?
Hot potato, hot potato, hot potato. What you do?
Slinky,
slinky. For fun, it's a wonderful toy.
Look, it's like
it's
I'm juggling,
but not.
It's
fun for a girl
not.
And a boy.
Yeah, because it's just one thing. The dreidel. That's upsetting.
Isn't that upsetting? My goodness. Number... I don't know what number we were on, but the sticky hairs... It says, try the Rapunzel. Wind a section of your tresses gently around his penis or tease him by using your hair to conceal your breasts. We haven't been reading enough Cosmo, friends.
Yeah,
we have
truly.
Not. We have not. There's like 35 of these, by the way.
I thought there was only 19. Hits. I thought there was like, oh, that's what you said.
There's some advice to use the vacuum in the way you would think.
Okay.
Yeah, remove the attachment so it's just a plain hose.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Have him turn it on low and hold it over various parts of your body. If the sensation is too much or your vacuum has serious sucking power,
then good luck tomorrow explaining the hickeys.
Serious sucking power.
Wow.
Okay.
And the final one, the vagina of coins. That's right. Put a bunch of, parenthetically, clean, loose change in the freezer for an hour. Tell him to slick your vulva with warming lube, then cover it with the coins, parenthetically, outside only.
So you're fucking money?
The cold against the warm is allegedly incredible.
Well, eventually it'll get warm. Well, and you'd hope. You'd hope.
God love Cosmo. It's been a good day on the internet, friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, look, Clayton doesn't even know what to do. He's like, I don't know.
I look up old dead ancestors, and you're looking up things on Cosmo.
No, I'm just taking the, you know what? The internet.
Bag of nope. How do you casually throw marbles on a bed?
I feel like that shit would hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
No,
and it wouldn't if you're laying on the bed, they would all roll to you at the same time. So you're gonna get that sensation of cold all at once, and I would just like come fucking up off the sheets. Like nope, we're done.
Yeah, cold, not cold, a cold, thing. Cold. Nope, cold hands. Cold, nope, right. Cold feet. Yeah. Nope, anything that's been in the freezer, go fuck yourself.
With it, with it.
Right. Yeah. I don't care yeah. what you're using, but it's not gonna be me.
Mm-hmm.
Knock it off. All right, I'm almost out of good. Hey, look at that! It's almost 10 o'clock. We're doing good. Do you have...
Go fish. I didn't know where you were going with. Do you have...
Give me all your fours.
I okay. spy with all my little eyes.
So this is the last thing that I have. And it is Ted Cruz doing impressions.
Yes.
Do you have it or no?
Give me a second.
You don't
I
have
will,
to.
Give me a second. I'll find it. Tell the backstory.
So the backstory is apparently Ted Cruz was being interviewed... And was asked about the upcoming Star Wars movie that Al has no interest in.
Yeah.
And apparently Ted Cruz is very interested in it. So much so that he felt the need to do impressions. Which
in
is
front
my
of Congress. President?
Well, no. He was in an interview. Hang on.
Oh.
Wait, I could just...
I thought the thing I read said was in front of Congress.
No, the thing today was... In an interview... There are plenty of memes of him doing impressions in front of Congress, though. Where is my...
He's in a helmet in this one.
I know. When you Google Ted Cruz Star Wars, you get
yeah,
a lot
I
of really
a lot of
stuff.
Interesting. Yes, you do.
Who was he talking to? Ted Cruz has strong opinions about Star Wars, saying that...
Is this... Hang on. Is this him talking?
Hit it.
Well, I don't know if it's going to play or not. Hang on.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know when the hell these things...
We're so good at this.
Oh, God damn it. Of course, it's a motherfucking...
Commercial!
Advertisement!
Oh, advertisement!
Oh, you bastards!
He's so good at them. Well, when asked what character you would be, he says that any candidate who'd say Luke Skywalker is an idiot and should be eliminated right off the bat. Clearly, the only answer is Han Solo.
Oh.
Clearly.
All right. Are we abandoned ship on the sound clip?
No, I'm just waiting for the goddamn commercial to be on.
All right.
And by the way, an important question to ask. of any presidential candidate is which Star Wars figure would you be? And I got to say, anyone who says Luke Skywalker ought to be eliminated right off the bat.
That's an important question.
The only right answer to that is Han Solo. And Han Solo, I got to say, may it be the coolest character in all of cinema. And, you know, Star Wars remains iconic. I'm excited about the latest Star Wars movie coming out. I can't wait to see it when it comes out. And, you know, I have to say there's a lot of wisdom wrapped up in Star Wars.
Sure, lots of wisdom.
A message that I give to folks on the campaign, sometimes they'll say, "We tried." And my response is straight out of Yoda.
There is no try. Do or do not.
And likewise, if someone does something very impressive, I'll turn to them just like Vader and say,
sure.
The Force is strong with this one.
Like you do.
That's America, and I'm really excited about it.
Holy fuck, he's crazy.
That's America, and I'm really excited about it.
I had no idea that existed. I have not watched the news today.
That was worth the wait.
So he did other stuff today, too.
So then, I saw this first, and so then I was trying to find... Because I saw it in a really like rambly article that I didn't have patience for, and so I was trying to find from a better source this same material. And so I Googled Ted Cruz Star Wars. Well, apparently, during his government shutdown filibuster, he went on an entire like Star Wars rant there too.
Yeah, which it turned into the Book of Mormon. You're making things up again, Arnold. Because how he added like to the Constitution all of a sudden had Star Wars characters in
it. Yeah, all of a sudden like he's like, oh, Obama's this character, and then he like switches sides of the Force like in the middle of the rant. We don't have to pull up the other one, but like in the middle of his
rant in front
of Congress, he switches sides of the Force.
And this was after the woman who filibustered the abortion bill in Texas, that then she ran for governor. Mm-hmm. She was not allowed to discuss anything off topic. Like, she couldn't sit down, she couldn't go off
topic.
Wendy Davis. So when he did it,
But he's in a different body of government.
Right, she but it was still the rules of government. Filibustering were supposed to be that you're not supposed to leave the topic. And he read Green Eggs and Ham to his kids, and he did Star Wars references, and everyone was like, this is such bullshit, after they were going to make her sit down if she ever went off topic or, you know, changed her shoes, and people came and relieved him so we could go have lunch. All that bullshit. It was such bullshit.
It's all bullshit. But that impression, your reaction to that impression was the exact amount of horror that I experienced.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That was...
Although I feel like we need to isolate that Yoda, like, monstrosity so that we can have it forever. Can we go back to that?
Yeah, just...
Can we just go back to
that? I can't.
Yoda
no, it's already, gone.
It's gone. Oh, right.
Just that that's...
We're gonna have to isolate that
thing. That's
a thing. I might do that tonight and send it to you.
Got to work on that.
That's going to happen. I'm going to do that right now.
Got it.
All right. Let's do another segment.
Do you want to do... We should just probably wrap this pig up.
Yeah.
Al's going to fall asleep if we don't.
Sorry, kids. This is a shell of a human left this week.
It's all right. We'll get to it. We can do that. We can do this.
Because there is not one thing in the town of Nolens that they have not thought to deep fry... Or put on a loaf of bread.
Right. All right, so let's do our last segment. It goes a little something like this.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Wait up until 2 hours before we get here, and then I'm like, oh, I'm here for a nap.
Which makes for good radio.
Yeah.
Sure.
So we'll kind of combine different things. And we'll
Can we combine a cookie into my hand?
Yeah, let's combine that. So what's the most beautiful thing you would say you've ever seen?
Holy crap.
How's that for me? Just, you know, a day without art. Like, what's... It could be
so
anything.
Vague.
It could be a piece of art. It could be something in nature, a person, a place, a thing, a noun.
Conjunction, junction, mm-hmm. What's your function?
I'm going to get you there if you're very careful.
So I usually don't get art.
Are you one of those people who does, like, if, unless it's, I don't get abstract art, never have. If it, I need a sequence of,
yeah,
I need something real.
Apples are nice.
Like, mm-hmm. all that abstract, weird art stuff, it's like, yeah, okay. Oh, it's the depiction of the moods and the swing. No, it's not. It's just a bunch of shit on a paper.
I'm somewhere, like, I feel like that's a 10 of cynicism, and I feel like I'm somewhere, like, a 6. Like, I'm,
eh. Well, you're better than me.
Yeah. Yes,
that's
I am.
How I'd like to phrase that, yes.
If we're going to be blunt, yes. Yes,
so
I
the
am.
Bitch award goes to Kat for this, yeah. this episode.
It's my turn. I'm going to say watching one of the boys, like, learn something and really, like, master it. And that like, click that happens, especially with the youngest. You know, because he'll work so hard and so hard and so hard to accomplish whatever it is. And he's, like, the pride in the accomplishment and that, like, glowing feeling he gets when he gets something done. You know, like, and a lot of, like, everyday things have been kind of a struggle for this kid. So, you know, like, knowing that now he can put his own shoes on is kind of an accomplishment and a big thing. Mm-hmm. So that joy and that pride and that sense of accomplishment that you can just see in his face, I think is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Like, to know that I've, like, helped teach this kid something and now he can accomplish it and now he can, and actually it happens in both kids, because, you know, I've got things that the older kid has learned along the way too, like that that sense of being a part of that learning process and that pride in the accomplishment. I think that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Oh, that is touching.
Well, fuck. I don't know, you're not going to be able to top that.
Again, I'll better just, than you.
Yeah, I'll just call you a shallow bitch.
That's what happens when you make me go first.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's blah, 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 blah. I'm trying to think of any time in my life where I was literally, like, just taken aback and, like, there were no words for. Aside from just watching that stupid Ted Cruz thing.
Well, there's this show.
Well, there's words. There are words. Trust. Nice attempt. Still seems to be the fun one to me. Wow. Hokey smokes. Most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I mean, you could say shallow thing. Well, no, obviously, there are certain.
It's not necessarily shallow. Like, not everyone has.
Right, but
yeah,
you know, such a connective and bigger than me kid experience. Like, it's not shallow to have not had that.
Yeah, because I don't have any of that. I agree with what Jenny says, or Anant, sunsets. There are tons of beautiful sunsets. Mm. I agree. And we have beautiful ones here in Arizona.
Really good ones,
hokey smokes. We have, like, almost every day. Like, a gorgeous, gorgeous sunset every day here in Phoenix. Wow. Can I pass to you and then come back potentially?
Okay. One time in Maui was, like, this windless hot day, and the payoff for it after it being, like, so hot and so windless that as the sunset and the moon rose, the ocean went this color of purple, and it was just still. And
I remember you talking about this, actually.
And it was, like, one of the few times that I was kind of mad that I was by myself, and, like, it would never come out in a picture.
Right.
And there was just no one to be like, can you believe the color?
Do you see that, right?
That the whole Pacific Ocean just went this beautiful color of calm purple. And it was just so, it was very, to me, it was very soothing. And I just had that moment of, like, take this in. There's nothing you could, like, you can't take a picture of it. You can't do anything about it. But just kind of own it and be there. Live it out till the light changes and it becomes a different color. Or a wind blows up a wave and kills the color.
And it will be in your brain when you're old and blind.
And on the glasses one, when I... you know, wear glasses for far away.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love, Harrison had a chandelier in her apartment on, in Hillcrest. And when you, and she would do the same thing. If you didn't have if you were nearsighted, the chandelier would just break up into spectrum of light because you couldn't focus. Neither one of us had enough eyesight to see it, but we. But it was always so pretty to look at that without our contacts in or without our glasses. Like, it was just this big explosion of light and color, and whether it was the sunlight coming in or the light off the actual thing, it was one of those things that was always fun to be kind of half blind and enjoy that stupid light.
It's nice.
There are just so many different things. I think of one of the things that comes to mind, and it's an experience, I guess, not necessarily just seeing.
That'll count.
Mm-hmm. I'm still in awe of, because I don't have the ability to do it, it seems like it's particularly in the singing genre, when you just experience somebody that's just performing, and you're like, how the fuck do they do that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you see them either live in concert, or you watch it on TV, and you're like, I don't know how you do it. I just don't know how you do that. And yeah. I mean, we share a love of Donna Summer, and where does that come from? Where does that talent, that vocal ability?
Yeah.
And she wasn't as much of a performer. Like, you know, she sang. And I love that about the fact that she just sang. She didn't try to put a bunch of other shit in it. Just sing the song.
Sit there and sing the song, yeah.
But there are others that just, there are those performers that do that. And I am always in such awe of that, because if there's one thing that I would, if somebody said you could have us one talent, I would love to be able to sing like that, to have that big of a voice.
Yeah, I have that kind of.
But I've never had that. The other things I always think of, and I've always have loved the serenity of, coming from back home, it's looking out, we had it at home, large fields of just nothing. Like, you'd be, the serenity, nothing was around you, there was no city, there were no noises of neighbors with thumping music or whatever,
neighbors.
Just quiet, and just listening to the breeze running through the trees, and pretend, you know, maybe a dog off on the barking or whatever, just that serenity, that's always just been very beautiful to me. And you don't experience it here in the city at all, but
yeah, the waving wheat, the bluegrass kind of thing, mm-hmm. I always love that.
And the smell of fresh cut grass, like if you're back home, the smell of,
oh, it's so evocative. That really
wonderful.
Does.
Yeah.
That smell of cut grass always takes you somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me want Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And tiger sauce. Both of those together in
tiger
one.
Tiger sauce.
Ooh, maybe Kool-Aid makes a flavor.
But I always think you always got to take that minute whenever you see something beautiful and just kind of, it could be a person. Sometimes it really is. Like, I have a friend whose body is just amazing, and he just likes to parade. He likes to walk around. Not a big fan of the clothings, but he has one of those bodies.
Where is this
that,
person?
Oh, I'll tell you when we're here.
Oh, I got a
but
pin.
He just
maybe
has
he should be on the show.
This like lovely athletic body. It's not from like being at the gym constantly. It's a very natural body, and he just has it, and he's lovely. It's just lovely to look at, and he's got like beautiful hair, and he's just one of those people that you should just be.
What a nice
photographed
friend
or painted,
yeah.
And he's just a pleasure to look at. Yeah, you're just like, wow, pretty.
I feel like you should buy him a car.
Is there some substance behind it too? Or is there just
he
a
thinks
look?
So.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
I'm not sure that I ever bought it, but
okay. Well, if that's the way that ball is going to bounce.
Oh, and yeah, and yeah, sometimes you're talking about dance performances. Sometimes there's dance performances that just.
Yeah,
just
again.
So beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I find that very often.
How they do what they do, it's astonishing to me. And some people have to rehearse their, you know, half their life to get to that one performance, and others, it just falls out of them.
Yeah, and some other motherfucker just walks up.
Yeah. Does it. All right, are we, can we wrap this up?
Yeah.
All right.
Well played.
There it is.
I think we have, we've done enough damage for one night. Just a guess.
Well, I'll be back and drinking next week. No more of this doing shit right up to the last minute.
That's some bullshit.
Hopefully we can all get prepared. I can actually get shit put together. We don't know. We're hopeful. We're all hopeful.
Who knows?
None of those dreams are going to come true, but...
Well, there's
but
that.
But maybe you won't be quite so busy is what we're saying.
We'll figure it out.
Look at that. My next Tuesday is wide open right now, so...
Book something, would you? Like a show? Like this show.
Oh, sure.
And you at home, book it too. We'll be back with you. We do it each and every week, coming to you from Studio C in lovely Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you all for being with us in the chat room. So many of you. Annette, Jenny, Joe, Aaron from L.A.
Karis and Miao.
Karis and Miao. So many people. Well, As we wrap up tonight's installment, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.